popping, everybody? You're looking live at the DealsInD.com studios in Ferndale, Michigan, for our pre-weekend show. It's Drew, Mark, Trudy in her usual Thursday slot.
Hey.
Must be exhausted after working the Monday show, too.
No, Drew, you're working me to death.
I'm sorry. We're trying to ease you in as best we can. We left Brandon in there last week, but we had to jump in there at some point.
I love how Jay laughed when I said that.
Jay's great support back there.
Jay works.
He's the backbone of the podcast.
Endlessly, yes.
You probably will say more this week than you maybe went on a regular week. Somewhere else.
What? Huh? What?
Oh.
What?
Oh. Yeah. Jeez. All right. Hey, come on.
Oh, no.
Easy.
You're respectful of all in the room.
Of course.
Of course.
Oh, gosh, we have much to do today. First of all, we have the White Boy Rick documentary. Sean Retsch is the guy that put that together. We're going to talk to him. Who knows? We may have another surprise.
Yeah, could be.
We could have.
It's iffy.
Susie Quattro, maybe.
Possible.
Leather Tuscadera from Happy Days.
That was Joni. Joni joined her band, Leather Tuscadera.
Leather was the lead singer, wasn't she?
Yes. She's the bassist because Susie Quattro is a bassist.
Oh, okay. I have a feeling this isn't going to happen, so I don't want to talk too much about it.
I'm not sure. Yeah, but she's from this area, so.
Yeah, she. Funny, I was reading about her yesterday when you said we might have a possibility of getting her, and she left home at 14 to join the Pleasure Seekers, an all girl band.
Yeah.
Wild. I mean, in 1964, that was a crazy thing to do.
They looked like kind of a Pussycat Dolls thing, too, although they all played instruments, too. So, chick band, man.
Yeah, it's a big chick family, the Quattro family.
Yes.
Detroiters are honoring Dick Wagner, who was Alice Cooper's guitarist for a long time.
It was Alice Cooper and Kiss and a bunch of... Oh,
You know who a big Alice Cooper fan is? Paris Jackson. Or no, oh, yeah. Paris Jackson.
Yeah, Paris Jackson.
What? Why?
So stupid. I watched that thing, Mark.
Did you watch
it? Yeah, her on the Tonight. Paris Jackson was on the Tonight Show. She's now just a regular star.
Is she like Charo? Right. There's no explanation for why she's a star.
She's a model.
She's Michael Jackson's black daughter.
Right.
That's why she's a star. No, she's pinch hitting. Isn't she doing like one appearance on a TV show?
Yeah, on Fox. A star, I think it's called Star.
Never even heard of the show.
No.
Is there anything else she's doing, though?
Well, she has the modeling contract.
Oh, yeah.
Modeling contract.
Rightfully earned.
She's with a big modeling agency. Yeah. I mean, a big one. Like all the major, super Tom Brady's wife.
Oh, Giselle.
Yeah.
Giselle. They signed Paris Jackson.
No.
Yeah, they did.
No.
I know. It's so ridiculous.
You know, my takeaway from that whole appearance on The Tonight Show was she came across more likable to me than Jimmy Fallon.
Ooh. Wow.
And I only mean that because, God, that was just such a bad interview.
But what do you have? What do you do with
Paris Jackson?
Nothing.
Don't have her on.
Don't have her on, exactly.
But are you going to waste my time smashing eggs against your head? Why is it on television?
Her being a model, though, isn't that odd? Because she isn't statuesque in any way, is she?
No.
Stunning.
She looks like Debbie Rowe. She looks like Debbie Rowe. She does.
It's the younger version, that face.
It's just so silly.
You know whose daughter is a model? Well, both of the Stones' daughters are models, but Georgia Mae Jagger. Have you ever seen her in those Rimmel cosmetics commercials?
No,
I have not. I've seen her though. I don't think she's that attractive.
I know Joey was like that too. He was revolted by her. It's like
revolted.
Why doesn't she fix her teeth? And I was like, that is a big thing with the Jaggers. You know, lips and teeth.
Oh, because she's got a big gap.
Big gap, yeah.
So I'm guessing looking at her, Jerry Hall is the...
Yes, right.
But God, those are massive chompers. Outside of that, she's pretty.
Yeah, she is pretty.
But it's those chompers.
Pretty.
Who's the other model you're going to mention?
Keith Richards and Patty Hansen's daughter. Do you know her name?
Oh, no. Is she attractive?
Yeah, she's hot, too. Well, because Patty Hansen was a model.
Yeah.
First thing under George Mae Jagger's teeth.
Yeah.
Who is? I'm sorry. What was the other one?
Patty Hansen and Keith Richards' daughter is a model. Also, one of them. I mean, they have a million kids, by the way.
Kill about 30 seconds. I think I lost a piece of paper upstairs, and I'm pissed.
Okay, go.
It's like the one thing I'm looking for. That's part of an article. I have one part, but not the other.
I'm just going to look at models. Is it Alexander Richards or Theodora Richards?
Oh, I think it may be Theodora. Yeah, let's see images of Theodora.
Teddy?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh.
Teddy.
Ooh.
Wouldn't it? I mean,
hubba hubba.
Yeah?
Nice. Well, that picture, she looks good.
Yeah.
Gosh, she looks she looks like Keith there, doesn't she?
Yeah.
The
but
mouth?
Imagine.
Well, that's pretty sweet.
Long blonde hair, looks like Keith Richards. If she played guitar, she'd be
nice.
Really
ew. Well, that. She's well, emaciated.
Tall and Willow. Well, she has 5-6 inch heels.
Man, she's hit or miss. She's pretty, though. She looks good there.
She'll never hit Maz's list.
No. She's like a half a Mandy Moore. No, she's probably a 0.8 Mandy Moore.
I just learned that measurement system this morning.
It's pretty effective. I mean, it's a way to describe someone's weight. I don't know. She weighs, and Mandy Moore weighs 135. That's the important part to know.
Oh, okay. I figured it was something like that.
Hey, Jay, there's a story on, oh no, have I lost the front part of the story now?
What no, story? Really,
this thing just went into the ether. Part two, and now it looks like part one's disappeared on me, too.
Uh-oh.
This is the always organized program.
Can you let us in on what you're looking for? I might have it.
It's Pontiac asks the show support for immigrants as Latinos fear crackdown. I'm looking for the continuation of this. If we can, is there any way to print that?
I'll find it.
Thanks, Jay. Okay. I know where to start. We absolutely must start here. And it's really the least, this is the smallest news item I've seen in a long, long time.
I think I know what it is.
It's so small. Oh, my God.
But it hits on, job. It hits, if it's what I think it is, it hits on something bigger.
Yeah, it does. It does. Monica Conyers, her 1 hour a week job. 1 hour a week. She was actually interviewed by Fox 2.
Mm-hmm.
They ran an actuality. We'll get to the whether she was fired or she quit. It turns out, I think she was fired. Clearly, she was fired.
Yeah. By the name of Monica Conyers.
She was fired.
I'll just read. I got to get through a couple commercials. I completely forgot about that. I'm totally disheveled. It started with reading about my health care.
Oh,
the health care plan. Yeah, and how much it's going to cost older people. You know that I'm on the upper side of middle age. Like, oh, great. I guess that's me. So I'm reading about it. I'm like, holy shit, health care is going to cost a lot of fucking money for me.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, last year, I remember doing taxes around this time last year, and there was this rather large chunk of taxes, and, you know, I didn't work the whole year. So how can I get all this money? Well, you got another 10 grand for Obamacare. Obamacare? 10 grand. So, well, I had to live on my own money for a while.
Right.
So I was, you know, cashed in a mutual fund here. Yeah. Investment income. I know. Yeah, okay. Well, but I had no income.
Oh,
I had no income. What was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, it seems like I'm just getting burned. Anyway, there's no way to win in healthcare,
no,
it seems.
No.
Not surprisingly. Anyway. You
know, they jumped in to make it better, and it sucks worse than ever. And there doesn't seem to be any explanation. Now they're saying 14 million people will be blown out of
24.
It.
That's not going to happen, though, because they've already suspended the vote.
And today.
Yeah, they're not going to vote on it today.
Which, by the way, I didn't know the vote was today because it's the anniversary of passing Obamacare, which seems so childish.
Well, first of all, you know, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because I just think it's boring. But wouldn't you think it would take a little longer than this to come up with a plan to replace Obamacare? Wouldn't you think people would need to sit down? Wouldn't you think they might be working on the thing that really needs working on, which is
you know why.
The cost of health care?
You know why. That comes in phase 2 and 3, which whatever that is.
Oh, good luck with that.
It's harder to pass that bill. This is a budget bill, so you only need 51 in the Senate.
But this reminds me of people not reading Obamacare until it passed.
Right.
We'll read it when it passes.
No, it's exactly the
same.
Drew, you're right. Both sides were kind of fucked up in how they've done it.
Well, but didn't they spend 8 years hating it? You know, the people wanted to to repeal it. So where were they trying to write it? Oh, there's Monica.
Good question.
Monica.
Oh, is she live?
They just showed Jason Colthorpe holding up the memo from AM 910.
Oh, cool. Did AM 910 just get tired of hearing her say she quit and so they put out the memo?
I think so.
Oh, good for them. Let me just get through this. Our friends at Zot Ford want to send a giant heartfelt thank you. Well, this is something I want to just get through this. Let's luxuriate in it. They want to thank all you listeners who bought or leased a new or used vehicle. Your amazing patronage, and it has been amazing, allows us to support Drew, Mike, Mark, Maz, Trudy, Brandon. They even spelled Brandon with a capital D-O-N correctly. Jay, Joey, and whoever the hell else hangs out in the DealsInTheD.com basement. To celebrate this love fest, lease a new 17 Ford F-150, 4x4 Super Cab, just $173 a month. Yep, the sweetest truck in the world for under $200 a month, only from your friends at Zot Ford and DealsInTheD.com. Plus, you can still get a 24-month lease on a new 17 Ford Fusion or Ford Escape for just $121 a month. Yep, choice of a brand-new sedan or SUV for $121 a month. Hurry to Zot Ford at I-75 and Exit 98, just past Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
And take advantage of this sweet offer today and extended by popular demand through the month of March. When you buy or lease your new or used vehicle from Zot Ford, you get $500 in free travel from Deals in the D VIP travel website. Yes, $500 in free hotel stays, only extended through the month of March. So there's that. And then there's our dear friends at Hall Financial, who also want to remind you. Boy, everybody wants to talk about the podcast. If you love the podcast, one way to support us is to support the sponsors like Hall Financial, of course. Mortgage rates and programs are constantly changing. Unless you're paying close attention, you could be missing out on an opportunity to save money monthly. That's found money, everybody. Reduced interest over the term of your loan. Maybe even buy your dream home. Hall Financial makes it easy to find out what your payment could be. Why don't you just find out or answer questions you might have? Just go to the Drew and Mike Podcast website, drewandmikepodcast.com.
Click on the Hall Podcast.
click on the Hall Financial logo. Fill out the online form. There's no obligation. I'm just going to find out if you can save some money. No pushy salespeople. Or you can call 248-308-5000 and talk to a person over at Hall Financial and do it that way. Make sure you tell them Drew and Mike sent you. Restrictions apply. Remember, it's the Drew and Mike Podcast website and then the Hall Financial logo.
I listened to the podcast the other day.
Michigan licensed broker lender, NMLS number 1467435, equal housing lender. So this memo, which I guess Kevin Adell just said, you know, I'm sick of this beast.
It's not your typical workplace grievances either.
No, it's not at all. It's incredible. And the heading of it, I think, tells the whole story.
I think my favorite is number 3.
Yeah, that's really? They're all great. They're all incredible. I mean, this bitch. We just have to get through this. Memo from Kevin Adell. Monica Conyers is still the same old, same old. She hasn't been rehabilitated. Monica Conyers is the same person you saw in city council with her sense of entitlement. And then let us examine the ways she's the same old Monica Conyers. One, attempted to use a corporate benefit that didn't exist for her. Using the executive assistant to book a room at the Peninsula in Chicago for $750 a night when it wasn't allowed. Who works 1 hour a week and gets a $750 room for doing that?
So she expected them to pay for it?
I guess. I don't know. There? Or is it just using the executive assistant?
To
I don't
book
know.
It.
He mentions the price of the room for some reason. I thought maybe it was a trade with the radio station.
Well, there's a little more to that in the late article that was printed in the Detroit News. They talked to the guy who I assume is the executive assistant, John Mattelio, director of marketing. And he said Conyers wanted to travel to Chicago to attend the Saturday funeral of Carolyn Rush, the late wife of Congressman Bobby Rush, which I don't know why she had to, died at 67 earlier this month and was a big fan of The Word. That's the company that owns AM910. Conyers called him and said Adele had already approved the company paying for the trip. So there you go. Mattelio said Adele thought she was driving, not flying. But Adele told Mattelio to book the flight anyway. He also asked what hotel she'd be staying at. Conyers said she didn't know and would get back in touch. She reached out an hour later and he asked, and she said, what about the Peninsula?
Of course.
Wait, I missed something.
That was kind of the last straw.
I missed something here. Is The Word paying for this?
Yes.
They are?
Yes.
Why would they be paying for her hotel room?
Why would they be paying for the flight?
What's going on here? What am I missing?
Well, I guess this lady who died was a big fan of The Word Network, so maybe they have some connection. I think there's something else under the ground here.
She's using his, her husband.
Yeah. Well,
air quotes.
Number two, attempting to get a discount using her husband's federal government ID. She was never part of the trip, it says.
I think
she,
it's a little more complex than her working for him on the air.
Oh?
Well, they get into the whole lobbying issue.
Well, okay, and that's very interesting. But first, number three,
yes.
Being loud and obnoxious in the hallways at The Word Network and partying down like it's 1999.
Used to Prince.
Partying down.
Lyric?
I guess.
But you figure she's there on Sundays when her shift is. How much party?
So 1 hour shift.
Wow.
What the hell's going on here? Then Number four is bothering the CEO when he's on vacation, calling him about refreshments because her husband is coming to do a radio interview with his wife on her radio show.
Oh.
Boy, I bet that's a hard-hitting interview, don't you suppose?
Yeah, right. I'm shocked he even did it.
Well, if it's his wife asking the questions, what's he got to lose?
No, I'm shocked he even did it because it was her show.
Exactly. Well, why would he do anything for her? I've never seen them together, honestly.
Because she serves a purpose for him.
Yeah, small, but I don't know why he cares.
Who's she taking to the Peninsula Hotel, I wonder?
That's a good question.
I'm staying the $750 on that room nobody.
You know, I'm going to tell you, a congressman's salary, by the way, is not the kind of salary for a $750 room.
No.
Unless the government's paying for it. Now, if John Conyers was staying somewhere on the government's tab, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he stayed in a $750 room. But
remember, point number two, which is also bullshit, is that they get a discount if you have this federal ID number.
What's that all about?
Why do they get discounts at fancy hotels?
What's that? What? People in government should not be staying at the Peninsula.
No.
I mean, this whole thing just sucks. Every one of these I read, I got more and more pissed. Okay, so she's calling this guy on vacation. This is the old entitled bitch, Monica Conyers. It's all about her. She got so rehabilitated. She learned so much, didn't she?
Being harassed.
So then he says, banging on the CEO's door. It's closed for a reason. Either I'm on the phone or in a meeting. She bangs on the door until I open it.
Wow. Man.
What a fucking pain in the ass, this bitch. This is somebody who just spent 3 years in prison.
These are all the reasons she violated corporate policy.
I mean, personally, I'm stunned that they would... The whole media attention of giving Monica Conyers a radio show, it's exciting for about 5 minutes. Yeah. Then you have to listen to the show. She has nothing to say.
Have you listened to the show?
Yeah. I did.
Really?
Not a ton. I mean, she's only on an hour a week.
Drew was on hold once to ask a question, trying to call.
What did you guys, what was she talking about?
I wasn't going to talk about what she was talking about. I said I was going to welcome her back.
Oh, yeah.
You got bumped because she had... did she have Vonda Evans on?
Yeah, she did. She got an interview right before I was about to go on.
And all it was about how great it was to hear Monica on the air.
Ugh. I know. It's such pablum. So then, number six. Monica didn't properly register as a lobbyist. She wanted to be included as a lobbying firm, but we discovered that she didn't register properly. Oh, this I love to hear about. Monica Conyers is going to be a lobbyist. So you can be a felon, you can be in prison for taking bribes and be a lobbyist.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big fear of a lobbyist? That they're going to essentially bribe people to pass legislation because they donate money to somebody, that there's this quid pro quo. You really want to take somebody who took bribes.
Yeah, they know how to do it.
Yeah, she's uniquely qualified.
She's got practice. No,
she's actually one of the few people I would consider that would be absolutely barred from being a lobbyist. I wouldn't think she could legally be a lobbyist.
Yeah.
You would think if you're convicted. Name of Monica Conyers.
If you're convicted of taking a bribe.
I would say lobbyist is not the ideal job. But does it surprise anyone that she would be a lobbyist? That somebody would say, hey, I'll pay you a chunk of money. Can you go get your old man to do something for me?
Nah, man.
Hey, actually, wasn't she a pretty bad lobbyist? How many grand? Was it only like $3,000 or $4,000?
Her bribe, I think, was $6,000.
$1 billion contract.
$1 billion sludge hauling deal. She turned her vote over $6,000. I mean, this just makes me sick.
Unless she's dealing in just a lot of it, quantity, as opposed to quality.
I'm kind of sick of the fact that if she can legally be a lobbyist, that's just, I mean, how many fucked up things are there in this government? I mean, how sick can you get as you find out more and more stupid things? Like this judge that doesn't show up in January, February, the Rob Walchek story, that fat ass.
She went to Michigan.
That tub of goo on the 36th District who didn't show up. She tried to take vacation her first week to go to Germany to see her boyfriend.
That was brassy, I have to
say. Oh, it was to see her boyfriend?
Well, I may have found that out. Off
Well, hey, at least we know.
She's a bad singer.
Yeah, there she is.
Thanks. Is that going to be stricken? Will you allow it?
No.
I have a wound infection and an open wound. So if you want staph infection, all over the courthouse.
Yeah, what she just spreads staph infection. She rubs her staph infection all over people.
I'm willing to bet, by the way, there might not be a boyfriend as much as it is a catfish.
Oh.
Well, you know.
Or is there more to it than
honestly,
that?
I think the feeling was this guy was somebody that she liked or somebody she knew, somebody she met. And, you know, I don't want to put her down for having a boyfriend, but trying to take vacation your first week after you've been elected as a judge. And by the way, she uses the church earlier to get elected, and then she skips. She now doesn't show up for the week that she was going to take vacation. Now she can't work, and she doesn't go for, what, 9-10 weeks? And then after Walchek does his Hall of, what wasn't he actually didn't put her in the Hall of Shame.
No.
But she went to work the Monday after his piece aired. Interesting. She suddenly is okay.
Yeah.
But
if she's still.
Oh, you know what? We have a listener who had a case in front of her last week, and he was going to let us know if she showed up.
Ooh.
Because I was going to ask him. He said, I'm in the 36th District all the time. Do you want me to call or do you want to talk to me? And I said, well, he said he had a case in front of him. I said, well, let's wait until you have the case to see if she shows up. And I haven't heard back from him. So whoever you are.
Guilty.
She's not showing up for work again.
He's serving time.
How come you haven't been on the bench yet?
This thing about being a lobbyist, I can't get quite past this. We discovered that she didn't register properly. So this means apparently everyone thinks she can be a lobbyist.
Well, but isn't it weird the connection? Like, why do they care that she's a lobbyist? Unless she's lobbying on their behalf somewhere. And that's why she has the radio show.
Well, I think she has a radio show because she's a controversial figure. She went to prison.
Well, I know, but
she was in city council. But yeah, the lobbying thing, it sounds like that's a secondary part of the.
Yeah, I'm
maybe
sure
it
she's
is.
Doing, that's probably the real work she's doing for them.
And by the way,
which is why they would pay to fly her to Chicago.
Did you see she's working for a law firm?
Oh, boy.
Who's this fine law firm? I want to make sure they never represent me in anything.
Well, what about the Conyers Consulting Group?
Was she a consultant as well?
You want to call their phone number?
Oh, is that?
It's on the memo they posted.
The Conyers Consulting Group.
Yeah, they replied to Kevin Adele.
Oh, her consultants?
She's a consultant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd love to find out who in the world would hire her as a consultant. What imbecile.
We can call. There's no address.
Yeah, sure.
Just a P.O. box.
Yeah.
All right.
And what does she consult?
Good question. Probably government stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Number 7, by the way, is swag for all three companies is used for marketing. She cleaned out our swag for all three companies. It's not to be used for replacing her wardrobe or personal sleepwear.
Oh, my God.
Personal sleepwear.
She's basically a nightmare.
Yeah.
She's a total freaking nightmare.
And she needs to go.
Right, Ruth.
And then her response was about how they terminated their contract with Kevin Adele. We'll no longer represent you in a lobbying capacity. We thank you for your privilege to assist you in your endeavors with Comcast. So she was lobbying on their behalf for something, which is probably why they would pay for her flight and hotel to Chicago.
I cannot believe you can legally lobby as a felon for taking a bribe. You know, this system is so fucked. I remember I think it was Michael Deaver who was in Reagan's cabinet. I'm trying to remember. Was he chief of staff? Or anyway, he was lobbying on behalf of Korea.
Really?
Yeah. As soon as Reagan was out of office, I believe he was representing Korea. It's like, oh, I see. So you're part of essentially the executive branch, very high up in the executive branch, and now you're lobbying on behalf of another country. That's nice.
Right.
And he's paid a ton of money, too. I mean, the money these guys get paid is disgusting.
Well, that's the one executive order Trump actually put out, that you can't leave Congress and be a lobbyist for a foreign state.
Well, these people will find some weasel. Sign. They'll always find some way to weasel big money out of somebody.
Yeah,
some corporation will pay them.
They are so good at end runs.
Yeah, loopholes.
Well, they build them in.
Yeah. Right.
Disgust. Sure. This whole thing is so disgusting. By the way, the superstation, the word, the superstation, they don't pay their on-air people. The superstation doesn't pay people. Isn't that kind of weird that they're the superstation?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a superstation.
They also don't show up in the Nielsen ratings.
Oh, my.
Oh, it's cool.
Oh.
It's not too super.
But they're on buses.
Oh, I saw a huge one the other day. Yeah.
Billboards everywhere.
All completely wrapped.
Well, what a ridiculous lineup.
Does that make Todd the dean of broadcasting over there? Or is it still Steve Hood?
Steve Hood, has he done something
before? He does their morning show.
Oh, I can't believe they'd be working after 5 o'clock.
I wonder what their morning show is like.
Oh, is Steve Hood on in the morning?
Yeah.
Steve Hood?
Just talk show or?
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. At the tone, please record.
Oh, nice message.
When you finish recording,
how professional.
Or press 1 for more options.
I'm so surprised that they. Yeah. Who are your clients? I just want to know who would be. What have you for a client?
Somebody
thank you.
By the name of Monica Condon.
Thank you very much.
And she needs to go.
Bye.
And is John involved? You think John's involved with it?
Oh, I'm sure John's a target. I mean, if you didn't want to get to John Conyers, why would you pay Monica Conyers? Who in the world, what congressman or senator would say, oh, Monica Conyers, you're so credible. You've been out of prison for how long? Almost a year now? Good for you.
Maybe she's learned to work the system. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Some way.
You know,
she'll
she
turn
was
up
just,
again. I believe she will.
I was just reading about her meeting Paul Ryan and how excited she was. And
oh, really?
Like, oh, okay. So that was she's working her lobbying magic, I suppose.
Was he a guest on her show?
No, she was in Washington.
Mm.
And she was with John, which was the most surprising. It's like, what, she was with John Conyers? Really? Kidding.
Photo op.
Wow. Good for her. So anyway, you want to call the guy who won the lottery, the $300,000?
Yeah, we can call that guy. 94-year-old
guy? I mean, and of course, right away you're pissed. A 94-year-old won the lottery. 94-year-old shouldn't be allowed to win the lottery. You should be, what, 60 or under to win the lottery?
Single.
Single.
Who's going to play it, though?
70 and
single.
Under. 70 and under. And you should be over 18. Or can you win the lottery if you're under? You probably can't.
I don't think so.
But people not who are here. 80 or 90 should not be allowed to win the lottery. It's too old to blow the money.
I'm not sure which area code there. Jay, he's in South Branch, Michigan. He bought the scratch-off ticket at a CVS in is it Farmington Hills?
What's a 94-year-old doing buying scratch-off tickets anyway? Come on. You're on a fixed income, dude.
He's a World War II veteran. What's so that's kind of cool. Irvin Smolinski.
He's probably a really good guy.
Oh, he's in your gallery of 90-plus-year-olds.
Yes, he's in our 90-plus phone book.
His daughter-in-law bought him the winning ticket at a local CVS pharmacy as part of a tradition that he started.
Well, that's
good. He always purchased lottery tickets for family members' birthdays. And now, well, here's the best part, though. He's not going to blow the money. He's going to be very conservative with it.
Irving! What? Come on.
No time to be frugal.
No, he doesn't have time.
I've seen listen, this is a great line. I've seen a lot in my time. I don't get worked up too easily.
Not even worked up about winning 300 grand?
Is he hot?
Yeah.
Because
he has 300 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's this? Who's calling?
Hello? Oh.
It takes him a while, Drew.
I wanted to keep the ticket safe, so I kept it in my pocket. I get a little nervous about that. Because of a lot of time I toss paper that I accumulate in my pocket in my wood burner. Luckily, it didn't happen this time.
There's
a great picture of him. Oh, he's going to buy a new shed and a newer used car, so he's still driving.
A newer used car?
Yeah.
A new shed.
He sounds very charming.
Simple man.
Yeah.
He won't answer his goddamn phone.
Come on, Irving.
Well, can he have a cell phone? Because my dad could never figure out cell phones. You know,
no, people that age do not generally have cell phones. It's pretty.
They forget to charge it.
I do know some people who are up there, like 70s, who have cell phones and
can manage. But yeah.
My mom could never. It just, she always talked into the earpiece. I don't know how she did it because it's 50-50, right? You think
yeah.
She get the mouthpiece half the time? No, always the earpiece. I could always hear her like she was off mic.
Right.
And it was so frustrating to me. Turn the phone around! What? I can't hear anything. Ugh, frustrating. She just could not get the phone, cell phone thing down. And I tried to teach her how to text message because at one point she said, I think I need an iPhone.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Because you kids are all talking to each other. You're text messaging. I want to be in the group.
Aww.
So I tried to teach her to text message and just couldn't. I don't know what it was. First of all, she couldn't tap the keyboard right.
Yeah, I had a problem. Even with my fingers were too fat for something in a store where you had to put your...
Bye-bye.
She wanted to use a pen and then, you know, no, you got to use your fingers and you really should use your thumbs, and she couldn't use her thumbs, and it just was... Mm-hmm. I mean, you should have seen the scribble. It's like, Mom, what were you trying to say?
Should have taught her where the voice-to-text button was.
Well,
those would have been good messages.
I thought the old-fashioned keyboard gave her a shot, right. But you're right. That would have been the way to try. But
sometimes you get really funny messages.
Get her one of those big iPads because you can iMessage on the big iPads, and then you can FaceTime with her. She can see her kid, her little boy.
Well, she did have the jitterbug. Jitterbug,
jitterbug.
Didn't work out too well either. Oh well. Just you know, change is a little tough when you get into being in your 90s and.
Yeah.
Your short-term memory isn't what it used to be by a lot, by a real lot. Oh, boy. All right, so let's see. What else is going on today? Michigan's playing tonight in
about
the
2 hours.
Yeah.
Slightly less than 2 hours. So all day long I was giving Julie and Charlotte an update of how many hours till tip-off. I don't think they were getting excited enough.
They weren't impressed?
No.
Really?
Why they don't care?
I'm a little surprised.
Charlotte, isn't she a future Wolverine?
Oh, she can go wherever she wants. I don't care.
Oh, bullshit. She's going to be so inundated with the cult information.
Might seep in.
Or she might actually.
If she gets a scholarship somewhere, she can go wherever she wants.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
Hey, did you see the Charlie Sheen story today, Drew?
What's the Charlie Sheen story?
How he was on a radio show and was talking about, this was earlier in the week, others in Hollywood who have HIV. But won't.
Oh.
He won't reveal anything, but he had to just say it was a bigger club than everybody thinks it is.
Yeah.
Anybody have any guesses? Mm. Who might be on that list?
John Cryer.
Because they made out. Jenny McCarthy, seeing this, came back and was furious again.
Why is she mad?
Because he didn't come out and tell her. He didn't alert her that he was infected with HIV.
Jenny McCarthy? What, did he make out with her?
She played, she was his girlfriend
in one of his shows.
Two and a Half Men one of those shows. And then she says whenever she takes an acting job, she has to reveal if she even has a cold sore, which makes me think that she has herpes.
Oh, yeah.
First of all.
They've seen it flare up.
And when she takes an acting job, I thought was a problematic part of that as well, because...
You can see it.
When has she taken an acting job lately?
Ooh.
She's on New Year's Eve.
Sorry.
On the Ryan Seacrest Dick Clark show. That's the only place I ever see her anymore. Is she doing anything?
Oh, no, she sounds like she's knocking over auditions right and left. When I take an acting job.
She does that talk show on Sirius.
Right. That's radio.
Oh, and to think the idea that anyone listens to that show, by the way. The last I read about Sirius is Howard Stern and basically nothing else.
That's it.
Yeah.
In fact, they're dropping all those shows. You know, they signed Oprah to a big deal. What was the Oprah deal? It was like $4.5 million for 3 years. She was doing like 2 hours a week or something. It was ridiculous. It was absolute madness.
Oh, man, I wish I had that radio contract.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
They lost their ass on that. They lost their ass on Bob Dylan. They lost their ass on Tom Petty. You know, they just started signing big names. They just thought, oh, my God, people, of course they'll go to Sirius to listen to these big names. And they didn't. They just, you know.
What are they paying, like, Tom Petty for the Tom Petty channel or Pearl Jam?
I think they paid him a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, those channels still exist.
Yeah, they exist. Oh, for the channel. I don't know if the channel is necessarily, if the person's paid for the channel. Yeah. I mean, maybe Tom Petty's show is on that. Does he have a channel? I didn't even know.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. He's got a huge catalog.
Well, it's not just his songs, but, you know, it's songs he likes or.
But it was him doing a show.
Yeah, he did a show. And actually, his show, he takes great care in putting a show together. And it's pretty interesting. The music is stuff that matters to him. Hmm. My understanding was the Tom Petty show, there was some interest in it. The only celebrity show that was truly. Had a following of any kind was Little Steven.
Oh, yeah.
Little Steven has a garage rock show.
Yeah.
And he was doing it on Terrestrial for a while. So I think he had built a following.
Right.
And, you know, it's sort of like, it's funny how I've been hearing a lot about people wanting to do podcasts lately. It's not that easy to pull a podcast audience together. It really is not. And, you know, we're still trying to push ours. In fact, if any of you out there know anybody, if we need to start a program, everybody has to add one listener.
Oh, great idea.
For listening.
That's a
all
good
of
idea.
You guys, just come up with one person. Come on, you know somebody who loved the show back in the day and they don't know about it now or they might not know about it. Just tell them. Tell them.
Tell them. Quiet.
I have trouble with people who are like, podcast. They have no idea what to do next. And I'm like, yeah, go to iTunes and go to the JuniorMikePodcast.com. It's easy. And
hey, my parents can figure it out, so.
Right. But some people's habits are really hard to change. But I think, look, long-term car rides, God, it's the best.
No, that's true. And I hear that a lot from people, that they will listen to four or five podcasts on a trip. And, yeah. You know, they actually save podcasts up for if they have something coming up so they can just sort of relax on their trip, enjoy the show.
Remember way back when we first started doing a podcast?
Oh, yeah. I think the question I hear the most is, what time is it on? And then I know I'm in trouble because, how do you even answer that question?
Whenever you want it to be.
Yeah, whenever you want it to be, exactly. But
you
then
tell
that throws
the time,
people.
Just pick up a time. Whenever you're in your car, it's on.
On demand. But you can tell that the concept is really lost on them when they ask what time. It's just, boy.
I listened to the podcast the other day.
I think the best thing to do is to tell them, you know, do you have a son? Do you have a grandson?
Yeah.
Do you have a brother that's a little young? That's what you need. If you really want to listen to the show, talk to your kid, you know, talk to your 12-year-old, whatever, and they'll set you straight. Just tell them what
you want. No one listens to the radio. I wasn't even listening. I was listening to podcasts. Podcasts are great. Radio's boring.
My 72-year-old dad's biggest problem is the fact that it's not live.
Why does that bother him?
I don't know. But this coming from a guy who watches nothing but reruns of The Big Bang Theory and Seinfeld. Only watches our reruns.
Really?
It's not live, but it's close enough. I mean, if you're in a routine with a show,
you call him and tell him.
You call him.
Tell them. That reminds me. Oh, God. Live. Oh, the shout outs.
Oh, my God.
A lot of email people are really ripping Maz. The shout outs.
You're killing me.
Well, he's killing me.
I know.
By the way, I got to give a shout out.
No!
What is with him? Why does he not? I can't understand it. And he said, hey, people like me. It's okay. No, it's not okay. It's stupid. We fought that stuff. We're the unradio radio show. We don't do stuff stupid radio. We don't do stupid small market radio stuff. Shoutouts are stupid. It's pointless. It's not amusing. We have a pile of stuff undone at the end of the show. Why are we wasting time doing shoutouts?
It's radio for one.
He claimed, remember he claimed that Pat was begging for a shoutout?
Pat, we talk to Pat every day. All the time.
Pat texted me, I was not begging him for a shout out. I recommended him a USFL website that had shirts.
Oh, wow.
So that's why all you have to do is recommend a website, and apparently Matt will show you out.
Good God.
So Trudy's getting 2 days.
Oh.
That's a low standard there, Tommy.
Did you see the story about the Silver Dome today?
Yeah, what a dump it is, and now they want money from them now.
Well, Pontiac is really putting the heat on.
They should.
No, it's ridiculous. When did the Silver Dome shut down? 99 was the last year for the Silver Dome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's 2017, and this embarrassing, pathetic stadium is still... knocking down stadiums in this town?
They have had events after that.
Early on they did.
I know they had a soccer game, but whatever. It's been
much.
A long, long time.
And there was no general use for the Silver Dome. They had people rollerblading in there. They're using it to park Volkswagens now that have been recalled for their...
Yeah.
What's the problem with the Volkswagen?
The emission line.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So there's just a giant, giant group of Volkswagens there. And that's against the law, apparently. I'm not sure what the...
It is? What, yeah, Oakland County Pontiac law? Or is it a...
I forgot what it is. The Silver Dome, I think, sort of disagreed with that, but it sounded to me like, let's see. Long Island Pontiac Silver Dome is now facing an unlikely problem, a parking lot filled with Volkswagens. The city's taken legal action against the owner of the derelict stadium, citing it for city code violations for storing hundreds of Volkswagen cars and crossovers on the property without the necessary permits. It is a parking lot. I mean, seems to be okay, but... The Volkswagens, which have been parked outside the Silver Dome since January, the vehicles the German automakers were forced to buy back following its diesel emissions thing. City cited the Silver Dome's owner, Triple Investment Group, last month for 6 separate citations generally related to the massive Volkswagens for failing to secure the property from trespassers. The city says the owner needs a site plan and business license to store so many cars there, even though it is a parking lot. Letter Triple Investment Group of the city also says, frustrated with repeated broken promises to start demolition. This is what they've been doing. They've been telling the city, yeah, we're going to demolish in, within 6 months. We're going to demolish. This has been going on since like 2014, I guess. And the city has finally just reached the boiling point. They want this stupid structure knocked down.
They should just stand outside and count to five and then put them in timeout if they don't do it.
It's, I mean, blowing up stadiums is cool.
Yeah.
Is it really expensive? Yeah. What does it cost to clear...
That's a bowl, though. Why don't they just bulldoze everything that's above ground level into that hole and then put topsoil over it?
It doesn't seem that hard, does it? I mean, it is in the ground.
There might be some toxic things in it, but who cares? Well, just cement over it.
You do have the underground portion. I mean, it seems like it would be easier
than... Push everything into that hole and then put cement over it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Case closed.
I'm not sure what the displacement rate would be, but... Or if that's even a concept. But anyway...
it's a valuable piece of land.
Well, it seems to me that... I was just going to say, Mark, I remember when they were talking about Ford Field and the Silver Dome and the whole thing was, oh, it's valuable property. You know, look at that giant... Is it really that valuable as they said it was?
Well, I mean...
Why is the Silver Dome still sitting there if it's so valuable?
You got to put a number on the value. To the owners, it's... It's more valuable than maybe to the buyers, but
if, Mark, they paid $583,000 for something that cost millions upon millions to build. If it's so valuable, why did they get it so cheap?
Yeah,
I mean, doesn't that make sense?
I guess you're right. Yeah. So why can't they sell it?
I don't think it's
a buyer who's going to pay more than that, or what they've paid on upkeep.
Well, I feel certain somebody would pay more than $583,000, but I don't think it's the valuable property they keep saying it. They said it was. Obviously, it wasn't. It wouldn't have sold for that. It would have sold for much more than that. And it's got me wondering about. And I'm going to be watching this, and maybe I'll be wrong. I hope I'm wrong because it'd be good. The Auburn Hills site. Have you seen the numbers they've been claiming that's worth?
Yeah. Now, see, oddly, I thought that site would be less valuable than where the Silver Dome is.
They're pretty close. I mean, they're not that far apart.
Yeah, but just based on location to, you know, the highway and what else is around it.
What, the Silver Dome being so close to M59, it's close to 75.
And they're both close to 75. Yeah, it's right by the headquarters for Daimler Chrysler or Fiat, whatever the hell they are now.
It's very convenient. I mean, it's extremely convenient. But
it's
Auburn
in Pontiac,
Hills...
probably 10 low taxes.
Oh yeah, I suspect low taxes. They were saying something like I think I'm right about this. Something in the 80 millions for the Auburn Hills site where the palace is. Wow. 80 something million dollars. And I know it's a lot of property, but I was thinking 80 some million. Really?
Well, you know,
for just the land?
What would they put there?
Well, they're talking about
supplier.
An automotive.
Yeah.
They always say it. They said that about the Silver Dome. I swear to God, they said that about the Silver Dome. They said,
oh, automotive, we'll take it up in note. Or somebody will build a mall there. Do you ever drive to the palace from north of there, from 75, like the Joslyn Road exit?
Drive to the palace
from where Great Lakes Crossing is?
I have not, but I've driven by there.
It's like automotive supplier. Just these massive complexes.
Sure.
So I guess they just assume another one would scoop it up and put something there.
But that's still, it seems like an awful lot of money. I don't understand this. It's funny. I've had two or three friends from out of town who are sort of following the new stadium story downtown, just big sports fans. And they're all asking me the same question. What are they doing with the palace? Are they just going to knock that thing down?
I
don't understand it. First of all, they can't have concerts in Little Caesars Arena, but let's see, there's 41 hockey games. Figure they make the playoffs in a typical year and play another 7-8 home games. That's 50 dates. Exhibition, right? A few exhibition games. Basketball, similar. So you got about at least 100 dates for sports. Then there's also dates where there's two people in town. I mean, there's times when Joe Louis and the Palace had a show. Yeah. Maybe not all the time, but maybe, you know, I don't know, 20 dates a year.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, 15 dates, maybe a few less. So that's a lot of nights when you could put a show in the Palace. I mean, doesn't it seem like if you could do, I don't know, if, let's say you could do, I just don't know, I'm talking on my ass here. But if you could do 80 or 90 shows at the Palace, is it not worth it to keep it open?
Can you do 80 or 90, or are you including the Pistons with that?
No, I was talking about just
concerts,
just nights where the Little Caesars Arena is busy, because it is, it's going to be busy. There's nights they absolutely cannot. If somebody has to do their show on that night, it's N.O.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a concert. It can be an event of some sort. Sometimes they do.
Yeah, like, it could be, you know, the stupid skating thing.
Well, it could have been the circus, but now they've folded up their tent.
It could be the Globetrotters. I mean, it could be myriad of things.
You've got the Great Lakes Invitational, stuff like that they play at the Joe, too.
For sure.
But still.
Yeah, that's more dates. Yeah, there's other stuff down there that they traditionally do at the Joe that's going to be in this arena. So it's probably more like 150 nights a year. I mean, there's a lot of nights that joint's going to be busy. I can't believe.
Suppose that they figure with summer, there's typically more events in the summer, that if they actually get this MLS thing built, like they do something there.
Oh, concerts? They could do concerts there.
They talked about the need for a mid-level 10,000, 8,000 seat venue.
Yeah, there is a need for that.
Is there really?
Well, we don't really have one.
Well, the Fox
we used to have Kobo.
5,000.
Remember, Kobo used to do shows that held like 9,000 or 10,000.
Yeah.
So it was kind of the in between the Fillmore and the Palace. I mean, it's funny.
If you have to be indoor, yeah. I mean,
it's
you
like
have Meadowbrook.
Right. Well, that part of the year for sure. I don't know. Maybe there's just not as many
really
concerts as I think. Yeah. There just used to seem like there were so many shows, and I don't. I just cannot. First of all, I can't believe that building is in that kind of condition and you would just knock it down. It seems insane.
They just put, what,
$50 million
bucks into it?
Yeah. Which he wanted out of it. And by the way, how about this fucking house that is right near Little Caesars Arena? And these assholes want $5 million for a house. Somebody paid $25,000 for it in, I think it was 98 or 97.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, somebody figured out, hey, that place is... They got to have that place because they saw the Illiches picking up land or they heard about it. We heard about that.
Yeah. It was a group of guys that bought it then.
Right. So they hung on to it. Some guy's been living there just to keep it from being scrapped.
That's a great idea, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pretty good
idea.
For
a job?
No,
Scrapper repeller?
Yeah. You know, I think he probably lives there for free or doesn't pay much.
No, he does.
He better not be paying.
I don't know why they care about a scrapper anyway, because they're suggesting that.
Unless
maybe
it gets condemned. If it's
I guess that could be a problem. I mean, you don't want that stuff to happen.
You still have the land.
Yeah, right. The land is what's important anyway. But here's what is killing me. Okay, first of all, they've been asking for too much money. They've been asking more than virtually any other property in that area, and they waited the longest. They held out. And
they're smart, because now they tacked on another $1 million.
$5 million.
Yeah, because the Pistons are down there. That does not make the property more valuable. That's bullshit.
Not one. Hey, no, there's 41 more dates guaranteed.
Oh, please stop. Come on.
I hope to God that house never sells. And it's just
giant
piece of shit house. And this, like, even 20 years down the line, see, the district is just killing it and everything's happening.
Wouldn't that be
there.
Hilarious? And these greed mongers who paid nothing for it and could have had, they were offered like $1.8 million or something. I don't know what the number was. It was a big number. Yeah. It was a lot of money. No, we're holding out.
Everybody around them has sold out, and they felt like it was like the lottery. They'd hit the lottery without doing anything. But this whoever owns this pile.
You know, now.
Well, they make it a parking lot and sell spaces.
Because Little Caesars Arena is so far along, now it's really viewed as a restaurant or, I mean, it can't really be part of the arena anymore.
No, they've already planned around it.
So tell me, how many restaurants want to pay $5 million for a piece of land like that? $5 million. I mean, that's a lot of money for a restaurant.
No way.
And if you're not a restaurant, if you're going to rent it to somebody, what are you going to rent it to somebody to make up for a $5 million mortgage or a $4.6 million mortgage or whatever your mortgage would be, 4.5?
If you're a restaurant, wouldn't you just rent one of the buildings that Illich is going to build?
A new building.
Yeah.
Your own building. How many restaurants buy their own building in a downtown area?
Oh, almost none.
No, almost none.
Especially if the land is $5 million and then you got to build a $1 million building on it. I mean, that's fucking crazy. This guy is out of his mind.
They'll never sell that.
I don't think they will. I really don't. They were trying to make examples in other cities where pieces of property and what they've gone for, and they suggest that, well, maybe it's close, but I don't know. It seems crazy to me.
The infamous example is the house in just north of Seattle, the Up House.
Yeah, the Up House.
Yeah, where they
tie a bunch of balloons to it.
Screw this old lady. We're going to build the mall around it. So the mall just goes in, around, and around it.
How hilarious. And how is she getting along?
I think she just died not that long ago.
Oh, she
so
did.
I don't know who owns it.
Well, there's another one in New Jersey where the casinos are,
yes.
Or used to be, or, I mean, Atlantic City's done, isn't it? Are they still doing casino stuff there? I suppose
question.
They probably are. Anyway, there's a little house that's between a couple gigundous structures, and somebody was actually living there.
Wow,
at one
really?
Time. Yeah, I don't know if they're still there, but it was a little tiny house, too, and it was,
no, I'm not selling. This is my house. I've lived here forever, and I'm staying here.
The noise, the traffic, the...
No.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. There's a fancy Atlantic City website.
It's like
entertainment capital of the Jersey Shore.
Ooh.
It's like Soto Sopa, where they built around Kenny's family's house.
Leanne Rimes is coming to Atlantic City. Buddy Guy is going to be there.
Wow.
Seinfeld.
Whoa. Cat Williams.
Cat Williams. Brian Regan.
Seinfeld just does dates like that, huh? I didn't realize he was touring like that. I mean, once in a while he comes
around. The Bacon Brothers.
Ah.
Oh, playing music.
America.
Stop it.
Are they now America? Just America?
America. Yeah.
America. What are the Bacon Brothers charging? I wanted to see them perform.
Let's find out.
They think they are Simon and Garfunkel or something. They really do. No, they think they're so good.
What do you think? How much do you think?
I'm going to say like $29.95.
Trudy, do you have a guess?
It's in the casino. So.
It's a casino, so it'd be more.
It's in the Golden Nugget.
$45 to $65.
Oh, stop.
Really?
I hope it's empty. Would that be hilarious if it was empty?
Yes.
For the Bacon Brothers?
Likely it will be.
It's March 25th, so it's a Saturday.
Oh, they're hilarious, though.
Let's see what seats are available.
Are they on tour, or is that a regular gig there?
I heard about them doing... They did a little commercial.
Oh, my God, it's all sold out.
Which was supposed to be really funny for eggs or something like that.
Boy.
And
whatever.
Like, oh, the Bacon Brothers doing eggs.
It's almost sold out.
No.
Really?
Three to four rows in the back where there's seats.
Well, of course, it is. Those shows tend to do well because they're, you know, they give you time off the tables.
Yeah.
So, because we always went to stupid shows in Vegas I'd never go to. Saw Tom Jones 3 times. And actually, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of hilarious. You're just up for doing stupid stuff and you stay busy and there's so much on the strip. It's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Go in there, bombed. See Tom Jones make an ass of himself for an hour. The shows are
great,
too. I saw the Temptations in there, too. They were pretty good.
And the
only one original member?
The Beatles Love Show. That one was cool.
That was good.
Yeah.
Did you see it the one time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it once, too. I thought it was really good. I think they've changed it now. I think it's a new...
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they only used some of the music, and so...
Yeah.
And they were tracking certain pieces of songs over other songs and doing all sorts of stuff.
I thought
it was kind of
cool.
Fun. Yeah, I liked it.
I got to tell you, I want to go to Atlantic City after looking at this website.
Really? What else is playing there?
I don't know. Chris Tucker's going.
Chris Tucker?
I don't know. It just seems like a nice, fancy little area. I know it's not, but...
Well, no, the boardwalk there is, it's kind of nice, and
I know
up into the casinos there.
Spirit Airlines has a direct flight, so it was their big thing for a while.
But isn't Atlantic City kind of a little bit seedy?
Yeah,
it's
is.
Awesome.
Rough.
Look at this YouTube video, Trudy, and tell me it's not, tell me it's seedy. Look at that.
There are, nice.
That is such a small space.
There are nice casinos there.
I mean, really
the casinos
close
are
up.
Nice. Trump has or had, I don't know, does he still have his casino there?
No.
Hey, did you guys hear talking about property that is unfortunate? The Farmington Hills story about the family?
Oh, yeah.
Wild
It's got the sewer, the
an open the
uncapped sewer underneath
leaking,
it.
A manhole. They just built a house over it. And then these people come along and they buy the house when it's in foreclosure, not knowing.
Right. And it's inspected.
So why is it their fault?
I have always.
Not.
You know, I got to tell you something. I've always had a thing about inspections. I just think they are so fucked up.
I know.
Because no one finds the stuff they should find.
Yeah.
And how many, I wonder how many people have bought homes. I'd love to see all the deeds in Royal Oak and Ferndale and Berkeley where, every third house floods. In a big rainstorm,
yeah.
Mark knows.
I know. Hashtag August 11th. Never forget.
Anyway, having done, you know, property management for 4 or 5 years now, we have, I think, about three, let's see. Well, at least, no, it's really more than three. It's like three or four that have flooded two or three times. Ugh. So anyway, we decided to go back and look. What did they say about water when we bought this? Because that's the first thing we should have asked. We should have said, does this place get water? How much water does it get? And we should have really checked that out.
By law, they have to disclose that.
No water. They never got water until we got the house.
That's crazy.
They never got water. Isn't that crazy? The first big rainstorm, it got water for the first time. And this house was built in the 1924, I think.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that something? Liars, liars, liars. And does anyone ever sue anyone for lying on these things? I mean, I would think that'd be... I've never heard of anyone suing about
it. It's law, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is, but...
You have to disclose those things.
But nobody does. They just lie. And I bet you... I'm curious, anybody bought a home lately in Royal Oak or somewhere where you've had a little water, and did you happen to check that on the... when you bought the house, I bet you it says they didn't get water. I think everybody lies about it. And it's just kind of understood.
Wow. It's $900,000, and they're making, well, it's now...
they're acting like the owner is going to eat the law.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That they have
pay. That's bullshit.
To demolish their own home.
that's insult to injury right there.
No.
Yeah, they have to pay. Isn't it another $1 million to demolish it?
Yeah. And
how can they say that? How can you possibly say that the people that own it now, it's like, isn't it sort of like musical chairs?
Yeah.
Oh, you're the idiot that bought it and believed the inspection. Right.
If they have that much money for that house, you know they have money to sue.
But they thought they were getting a good deal because it was being foreclosed on, so they get this great, gigantic mansion.
That's not why it was being foreclosed on. I mean, that's almost neither here nor there.
Right, yeah. So they're in this mansion, and then it turns out to be...
Who's the asshole that sealed it off?
I know.
That's who should be
also
paying.
Who's the asshole that inspected it? I go back to my inspection.
Well, except you mean when they bought it?
When they bought it, it said today. There's an article about it today or yesterday. Maybe it was yesterday. But it says that the inspection done when they bought this house said that there was no drainage or sewage problems.
Yeah, but I thought when the story originally came out, it sounded like they capped this runoff. And then they put the basement over it, like they cemented over it.
Yeah. People that built the house.
Yeah. That built the house. So how would the inspector, when it foreclosed, how would he know unless he tore up the basement?
Aren't
the only reason
to...
they found out is the city later sent the
drain commissioner?
Scope down there.
Oh, right.
Saw that it was leaking, which has to happen to be right underneath the house.
Right. How do you send that? How do you send that scope underneath the house if they build a basement?
Well, you send it through the drain. I mean, it's a runoff.
Right. Yeah. To get a little picture.
Aren't
those great pictures to look at?
Yes.
I've looked at a couple of those.
Colonoscopy.
It's like, what am I doing?
Is this a colonoscopy or is this my drain up to the street?
Oh, God.
Same. It's the house's colonoscopy.
Polyps or branches?
Have you ever been through that, by the way, where you run the camera through the drain?
I've seen it,
you know, it looks like it's collapsing. It could collapse in 6 months or it could collapse in 20 years.
Okay, I'll wait.
Yeah, well, that's what I say, but
it could happen in 6 months.
This is
it could happen in 20 years.
It's a great way to make somebody really nervous and spend about $5,000.
Yeah,
you know, putting a new liner in there or whatever you do.
There have been three people on my street that have had to dig up their front yard recently and
fix it
going to the street
because it happened or because it was about to happen.
I don't know. I got to ask them.
Yeah, please ask. I'm really curious.
But I remember the city just recently, we were one of the first streets to do it. Ooh, and they would they put the liner into the old pipes, like this plastic liner.
Oh, neat.
The holes.
Oh, they did.
That was the first time my basement flooded.
That's in the street, though, right?
Yeah, but you're not supposed to use your water for a long time.
Uh huh.
And they put the liner in there. And they didn't fully cut the hole from my house to the street.
Uh oh.
That was the first time water backed up, but they admitted it was their mistake and paid. Helped that the guy was a listener.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
Yeah. Right. But at the point being that, you know, you run these new liners through and it's supposed to help it last.
Is it? Why can't they do that in Flint? Run liners through the pipes.
Well, all they had to do in Flint was put that additive in.
That's true.
That Flint thing is just, I mean, the fact that they're behind on everything in Flint, and now they're having, well, this was related to Flint. It wasn't just Flint, though, the rally that water is a human right rally in Lansing.
But it is.
No, it's not a human right. I mean, I understand how
water.
Flint feels.
It's a need.
Oh God, is there any way we can kill that guy? Can we put him to death, or just put his drop to death? We don't have to kill him.
Is treated water a right?
No, it's not a right. It costs money to treat water. Exactly. Somebody has to pay for it.
Yeah.
I understand the Flint people who are part of this protest because
allegedly paid.
Yeah, I think you have a right to have clean water in your home, mm-hmm. and it shouldn't take 5 years to get clean water.
If you pay for it.
Yeah, if you pay for it, and they are paying for it. Now they're being asked to pay for it. It's not even clean. They have to use a filter, and they're still telling them they have to pay for it, which I think is kind of BS. But, of course, yeah. Detroiters leaped on this protest to say that water is a human right.
No, different situation.
Free water isn't a human right. You know,
no,
but it's... But non-poisoned water provided by a city, I think, is.
I think the idea that water is a human right, though, is a misstatement. Water is not a human right.
Everybody go down to the river and scoop some out. You can have
it
all you want.
Yeah, drink it out of the river if you want.
Don't be arrested.
Water in your home is not a human right.
Delivered and treated? Yeah, it costs money, and you have to pay for it.
So that is not a human right. That's where people are a little
take as much water as you want out of the river.
Yeah.
Why don't you correct their, what do they have, banners and signs and stuff?
Turn off the water.
Yeah, there's all kinds. Let's see. Misspelled signs here.
Was Mark Ruffalo there?
Oh.
No, he wasn't there.
Damn.
Of course, we called his hometown and found out that they cut off people in his hometown.
Oh, that
don't pay the water bill, remember?
Really?
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the protest was on World Water Day.
What?
There's a World Water Day, apparently.
Really?
And these people know when World Water Day is, so they can have their Water's a Human Right rally. Isn't that amazing?
They just make up World Water Day?
No, it's probably on some stupid calendar somewhere. It's probably a radio station that does a bit around it.
Yeah.
Hey, it's World Water Day. We're throwing water in people's faces when they come to the building. It's hilarious.
It's
look at the camera in the lobby. It's great.
Oh, my God. That'd be so cool.
It's probably more for countries that need wells and pumps as opposed to people that aren't paying their bills.
Probably.
World Water Day.
Well, there was World Toilet Day. That was Matt Damon's day. Yeah.
What is World Toilet Day?
He's affiliated with a charity that is trying to get, you know, plumbing installed in places, you know, third world countries and such, because he says the toilet is the single most important thing saved people's lives.
Makes him sound like he's stuck in the anal stage.
It really does.
He's obsessed with his own bowel movements.
He talks about toilets all over the place.
I'm going to join that charity.
Well, I have to think how bad it would be with her.
Today I taught Charlotte how you get rid of a toot. Or how you clean a toot. She's obsessed with the toilet right now. She's in that phase. So every doll had to go to the potty.
Aww.
And then she was walking around going, I toot. And I go, clean up those toots. And she looked at me like, what? I said, you don't know how to clean up a toot? And she goes, no. And I go, that's how you clean it up. It gets rid of it.
Oh, that's nice.
You're teaching her something.
If she toots, she has teaching her to get first huff.
Yeah, that's how you clean your own toots. You didn't know that? You can't
inhale
just let it
them?
Linger around for everybody else.
Oh, boy.
No, you're supposed to set them on fire.
Charlotte's going
to
be living off first
Poor
puff.
Girl. Jeez. She doesn't stand a chance. Why am I ever allowed to watch her?
Don't ever ask her to clean up yours.
Oh, God, no.
I'm sending Child Protective Services.
As you should.
In the DealsInTheD.com studios, we're going to be talking to the director of the White Boy Rick documentary coming up in about a half an hour. And also got Today in Rock coming up. And, you know, I want to talk about this girl that was assaulted on Facebook in a minute, too. What is going on in this world? People, sexual assaults live on Facebook? It seems like it's almost like a chic thing to do. There's just people. I mean, this is like the fifth one I've read about in the last few months.
Or how many suicides on Facebook have you read about? Those seem to happen.
How often is that happening?
Oh, there's been a bunch of stories. There's a story about a mom who watched her daughter do it.
How do they kill themselves, by the way? They shoot themselves?
Hanging.
Or,
hanging.
Oh.
Hanging. Ugh.
Come on.
Social media. Oh, boy. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Got Today in Rock coming up right after this. But first, just want to tell you that we all know our friends at DealsInTheD.com have the best deals in the D. But did you know they also have the largest Wrangler selection in the Midwest? Tired of going to your local dealer and looking at three or four Wranglers? Well, cut that out. Go to Zot M59 Chrysler Jeep. They got over 150 new Wranglers to choose from. And during the spring clearance event, you can lease a 2017 Wrangler Sport for $269 a month. Surf over to dealsinthed.com for a $269 Wrangler lease. Get there.
Oh, my God.
And then, what are you waiting for? The most common question asked by Dr. Roche's office. Stop putting off improving you. They give you the look you've always wanted. Of course, specializing in natural-looking breasts. Dr. Roche has done more breast augmentations than anyone in the Midwest. He's got over 30 years of experience, and he is the only triple board-certified cosmetic surgeon in Michigan. Experience matters. Call for a consultation. 248-338-1110. They just got somebody coming in to get a breast lift and augmentation at the same time, which is not uncommon. That's just kind of the listen baby the wrecked my boobs deal.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that they should look really good in a Drew and My Podcast t-shirt.
Yeah, those shirts are really outstanding for that, no doubt. call and we'll get you the t-shirt. You call him, 248-338-1110, or visit droche.com. And, of course, they do all the other things, too, liposuction, facial surgery, Botox, the HGH. I know we got a few guys who are trying that. I wonder how they're doing. Let me know. The tattoo removal, the BBL. And, of course, the breasts, numero uno. Go to the website, droche.com, for Greg Roche.
Well, if you got turkey neck. Work.
Turkey neck. Yeah, you can go for turkey neck, too, of course. They got the new procedure for that. Yeah, there we go. Somebody's asking about Stan Johnson's turkey gobble.
Oh, yeah. Stan Johnson. Man.
They must have heard the turkey gobble and thought of it.
Stan's on memories there.
I know. Amazing. And for drops, it's just unbelievable. I can't tell you how many old drops people are still saying, have you found, you know, like, what's her name? Grandma Burry.
Oh, right.
Grandma Burry. It's like, really? I can't believe. What made you think of Grandma Burry?
What did Grandma Burry used to say? What's her
dad? They're further north. That was one of her things. What was the first thing she said?
This is Grandma Burry.
Oh, yeah. That's right. This is Grandma Burry.
Then she they're in Olympia. We're further north.
We're further north. That's right. Wow, nice memory.
Well, I only played it 8,000 times.
Right.
What is going on with... Did you see the Amber Alert? With
Amber!
You know what?
This is Grandma Burry.
There she is.
It was on my phone for 3 seconds.
The Amber Alert?
It was in my way.
Oh,
X'd
no.
Out.
You know, it's funny. I blew it off, too. I feel kind of bad. I just saw Amber Alert.
Well, I wasn't going out of
the house. I want something else on my phone. I want an Amber Alert.
No, I need to see. Get out of here.
But then.
It was Monroe, too, wasn't it? So I figured that.
Well, actually, there's been a couple. This one, I'm not sure if it's the same one. The guy who went into his ex-wife's house to take his daughter, who's 5 years old, and he goes in there. There's five kids there, home alone.
Oh.
What?
Ex-wives. And so it's kind of like, well, wait, why are they giving him a hard time for taking his five? Okay, he only had one of the kids was his. He took his kid and left the other four there still home alone.
Well, that's a little selfish.
Yeah, I thought so. He could have maybe called.
Hero.
Don't get me wrong. Understandable, yet selfish.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. It's, you know, he's covered his own ass, but you know, it would have been nice if he maybe knocked on a door.
Yeah, but who wants to take five kids? Maybe he only had one car seat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that must be
Here's the kicker, though. So I guess she got home and sees this kid is gone. She calls it. Oh, my child's been, my five-year-old's missing, and I think my ex-husband. So they're looking all over for the ex-husband, and they find him, and the five-year-old is home alone at his house.
Oh!
He left the kid home alone!
Oh, my God.
What an
great parents.
Finds his five-year-old home alone with four other kids, takes her out. They're like, well, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And then he leaves her home alone.
Oh,
asshole.
At least she had four other people to hang out with at the other place.
I know.
Yeah, I know, but trouble in numbers. Maybe the kid was better off home alone.
Well, I mean, I know.
Like Kevin.
Well, you think it would be better off home alone with four other kids.
No, but...
Although five kids can get along.
Yeah.
Or you could network and figure things out.
They could all stand on each other's
network. 5 and 3-year-olds.
They could find a trench coat, a hat, and some glasses and stand on each other's shoulders and go out somewhere and cause havoc as an adult.
For sure.
I've seen it in a movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, I remember stuff like that. Absolutely.
Did you see the story about the people who passed out from heroin?
No, I love these stories, by the way.
And their little kid is 5 years old.
Wait, another child in a car with crashed heroin parents?
Yes.
And the kid's wide awake, right?
And the kid's scared to death. Yeah, she's wide awake and somehow has a phone, so she calls them.
They're parked.
Yes,
right.
They're parked. Okay, and both of them are like, You should see their mugshots.
So out of it. What is it about heroin? People are just like,
oh, my God. Their mugshots are horrific. The woman looks like Miss Piggy, and the guy has a startled look on his face. And,
frozen in time.
And then the grandmother comes.
Frozen look of horror?
Yes. Because he saw who he is married to and then had to do heroin.
Oh, boy.
And then the grandmother's like, oh, thank God they found him. And grandmother looks like Tom Petty.
Whoa, really? So, cool.
Right.
Well, at least she looks like Tom Petty.
He and Martina had a baby.
Did you guys ever see the video?
But they were talking about the Cincinnati opioid epidemic. It's still going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then they
still cutting it with carfentanil, the elephant tranquilizer.
Whatever it is, that these people are just like, there are so many pictures of people passed out in their cars.
Well,
like,
is there a website for that? Because I'd like to see.
Oh, start one.
I mean, for entertainment value.
Start one.
It was on
frozenintime.com. There's one of the famous videos is the couple that did it in like the bathroom of a CVS, and they come out and they're a white couple, and they must be in a black neighborhood because it seems like everybody else in the video is black, and all they're doing is filming it and cheering them. It's bad. Have you ever seen that one, Jay?
No.
I'll see if I can find it.
These people are a mess, though. These like crashed out people. And this litany of pictures of one right after the other, and we're talking about Cincinnati. Why people do so much heroin in Cincinnati, I wonder.
I don't know. I thought the opiate epidemic is virtually everywhere. Yeah. Is Cincinnati worse than
Seems ever? Like it, yeah.
Why is that? Cincinnati, I mean, of all places.
Like Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, like just where they started cutting it with the fentanyl and the carfentanil, and they didn't cut it right, so a lot of people started dying there.
Yeah.
Plus, you have, depression, and I'm sure the unemployment level is a little higher there.
I don't understand the assholes cutting heroin with fentanyl. What, it seems like fentanyl would be expensive because it's so strong, right?
Right.
So yeah, would you add fentanyl to the mix?
I was reading something that's actually the other way around. They use the heroin to cut the fentanyl.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
So cheap.
Is heroin, fentanyl stronger than heroin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but then you don't have your customers, your repeat customers. If you kill them, not very savvy.
Well, you don't want
Trudy,
to
good,
die.
That's good business, Trudy.
That's a business. Yeah, a business model that doesn't work.
Today in rock for March the 24th, and 1966 on this day, Simon and Garfunkel released their first UK single, "Homeward Bound," which was written in England, by the way. Simon, did you find the heroin crash?
Yeah.
Is there a page for that?
No, I just found the new video, or the video I was talking about, which was posted on somebody's Facebook with the description, "They out here fucked up!"
Is the picture up right now? Can I look at it?
It's a video. You ready? Yeah. It's long. It's 9 minutes, but this is one of the most uncomfortable passed out positions I've ever seen. They were in a Walgreens. But I'm sure there's great play-by-play.
Usually the couple's in a car, and the kid's in a car seat in the back seat, wide awake, just kind of playing.
Yeah.
Facebook Live, man, it's fucked up out here. Man, goddamn, Facebook Live.
There's four people filming them.
Facebook Live, he's gonna pass out, man.
1, 2, 3.
Why are they, like, 20 feet apart? They're a couple.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they passed out at different phases.
She's bridging.
She's like, looks like a frog face down, like if you're impersonating a frog jumping face down with your face on the curb.
Wow.
Where's the kid?
Oh, there's no kid in this one.
This is a different.
And then this guy was sitting on a park bench and just decided to take a nap, but leaned all the way backwards.
God.
And yet everybody's filming it. I assume no one's called the police.
Hey, that's good video, though.
Or 911.
Did it in landscape.
The frog lady is... How did she pass out in that position on a sidewalk?
Yeah,
she couldn't make it to the grass?
There he is.
He needs some milk.
They're frozen in time.
Wow. Hey, filmmaker.
I'm just going to assume they called 911 and then started rolling.
Two white males and a female down. Injured.
Down.
Was he on that mojo?
That's a good laugh.
I'm going to jump forward and see if they come to CUM.
All right.
They putting all kind of shit in that mojo.
Oh, she's up. Frog lady's up a little bit.
Oh, really?
Oh, and she's back down. She was about 6 inches off the ground. Jump forward.
It seems like cops always come. Probably people like that milk drop. That's another popular one. I've seen that so many times.
Get them some milk. Shit, you see why? Get them some milk. I bet that fucking mojo. They better leave that shit alone.
You know what? That reminds me, on St. Patrick's Day, people were screaming for the leprechaun,
say, yeah!
The leprechaun in the tree, yeah. Get him the gold.
Joey posted it on Facebook.
Yeah, and the best drop, one of my favorite drops in that, could be a crackhead. God, that lady is so, I don't know what it is about her voice, but I just love
Cops.
It. Is that from Cops?
I think that was from Cops.
No, that was an actuality from the news story.
Oh, was it?
Where they were speculating where the leprechaun came from. And she said, could be a crackhead who got into the wrong stuff.
Yep, that's right. Oh. But we just had it down to, could be a crackhead.
Yeah. I think
I was thinking we should have just left the rest on there because it was all good.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right. I like it could be a crackhead, too, because it's so fast.
My favorite part is the description, the drawing of said leprechaun.
Oh, my God, the drawing is hilarious. You know what that just reminded me of, too? Another series of drops. Bub Rub.
Woo-hoo!
And Lil Sis.
Yeah.
Bub Rub and Lil Sis.
You're out here supposed to be cooking breakfast.
Woo-woo! It goes, woo-woo!
Whistle go, woo!
And remember how he runs the stop sign? No, Lil Sis runs the stop sign, doesn't she?
Somebody.
Yeah, she almost is in an accident. Joe, you remember that, don't you? God, Bub Rub.
Woo!
You guys talked to him, didn't you?
Yeah, did we talk to Bub Rub?
Oh God, yeah,
we did. Yeah,
like
we did.
Right after it happened.
Yeah, that'd be a fun thing to put on the Facebook page if you just happen to, if it's still out there. It's probably in there.
The Bub Rub video. It's gotta be
the Bub Rub video.
Well, Throwback Thursday.
Definitely, that's a great idea. Throwback Thursday.
It is Thursday, right?
Yeah.
The whole leprechaun thing, the drawing is so damn funny. I could not believe they put that on the newscast.
I still have it in a frame somewhere. It's sitting on my desk in a frame.
God, is that funny. Is this Bub Rub?
The whistles got woo!
Anybody that has it in their neighborhood is going to be totally driven crazy.
It sounds like what?
Well, you want a woo-woo? It's that woo-woo. You know what I'm saying? Then you got the flows. They didn't trip off the flow masses.
That decoration, man. It's just for decoration. That's all, man. We do it for decoration.
You have it on your car?
Yeah, I got it on my car.
By the way, this never really took off.
No.
Whistle tips.
Roxanne Bruns has the high-pitched tone like the squeal of a bark train.
It's on the muffler, right?
It's keeping her awake at night. Police have told her it is legal.
They think it's a fad. It's going to go away. It's not going away.
Yep, it went away. You're wrong.
And it's driving you nuts.
It's driving me nuts.
What's cool about it? I don't get it because it goes woo woo.
So you hear Bub Rub coming.
When it goes on for hours.
Some neighbors are saying way too loud.
That's only in the morning. You're supposed to be up cooking breakfast to somebody, and so that's like an alarm clock. Woo woo.
Yeah. Hardworking man Bub Rub's already up at his business.
Mark, you remember what his headband is? His
Raiders.
Raiders.
He's a Raiders fan. Raiders. Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Oh, whoa. Oh, Lil Sis, oh my God, was that close?
Lil
Sis
totally runs that stop sign.
She's a crazy driver. Hey. My God.
And they're called Bub Rub and Lil Sis because that's what's on the cry on underneath the story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lil Sis.
The news comes up. Now, what's your name? Lil Sis. And how do you spell it? L-I-L-S-I-S. Duh.
Okay, I didn't even get through my first item, Homeward Bound. Simon and Garfunkel released their first UK single, Homeward Bound. Simon wrote it while stranded at a train station in Farnsworth Railway Station in Widnes, England. It's about wanting to get to his girlfriend, Kathy Chitty, who lived in Brentwood, Essex, England. Ooh. It also got a U.S. release where it reached number 5. 1973, here's a weird one. During a Lou Reed show in Buffalo, New York, a fan jumped on stage and bit Lou on the buttocks. What? And it was a dude who was booed heartily and tossed out after being roughed up by the crowd.
You don't bite Lou Reed in the buttocks.
But had it been a chick, it would have been an entirely different incident, I'm sure.
Bite him in the buttocks.
Same day, the OJs were number one with Love Train. Boy, that's a great song.
Get on the love train.
I remember when the Mick Jagger, the Stones covered that. One of their tours, I think it was 40 Licks, they covered Love Train and a great version of it. 1985, Phil Collins could do no wrong in the mid-80s. He was producing a Philip Bailey album, Bailey going solo from Earth, Wind & Fire. And at Bailey's urging, they did a song together, Easy Lover. It was number one on March 24th, 1985. 1992, a Chicago court settled the Milli Vanilli class action suit. I guess we all should have been on that. Oh, I never bought that stupid CD, though. Anyone who bought their music before November 27th, 1990, could get a rebate of $3. Oh, boy. I wonder how many people actually went for that. Harold Melvin of the Blue Note fame died at age 57 on this day in 1997. And then 1998, singer Mark Morrison, the British hip-hop artist, was sent to jail for a year after, get this, he tried to con his community service by sending his minder, a guy named Gabriel Mafurka, to do his community service. He had worn sunglasses, much like Mark Morrison's, and tucked his hair under a hat to try and con his way into the community service. They knew it wasn't Mark Morrison, and he ends up going back to jail for a year for trying to send a weasel friend in for him. Then 2000, a film company paid just over $1 million for 9 hours of film shot of John Lennon during the 70s by Yoko Ono. I wonder how that deal came about. That's what she's just offering up hours of her shots of John. He was smoking hash in some of it. He was talking politics, and I just still can't imagine how that 9 hours worth $1 million, because 9 hours ain't enough to make a documentary out of, I wouldn't think. But anyway, they paid it, film company. 2001, a stretch of Highway 19 in Macon, Georgia, was named Duane Allman Boulevard. He died in a motorcycle crash in 1971 at age 24. And then 2002, Gareth Gates became the youngest male solo artist to have a UK number one. He was 17 years, 255 days old. He'd been number two on Pop Idol, and his debut release was Unchained Melody, a cover of the Righteous Brothers song. I'm sure it sucked, but you know, number two in Pop Idol, so whatever. And then 2009, closing arguments in the Phil Spector trial. Prosecution telling the jury he was a demonic maniac when he was drunk and very dangerous around women. He was convicted, of course. And he is alive. We talked about that, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. He's still in jail.
He's still there. God, I can't imagine what Phil Spector, what could his life be like?
What does his hair look like? What wigs he
wearing? Oh, he can't wear a wig in there. Oh, no wig allowed. No, he's totally bummed.
That's a shame. I bet you he's made one out of bed sheets.
Yeah, how does Phil pass his time in there bragging about his many?
He's making toilet paper wigs, just taping it under his head, pretending it's long hair, that's been curling it up.
Cool.
I'm not bald!
Well, who's the man and his brother, of course, had to do the same thing.
Lyle?
Yeah, he lost his toupe.
His toupe.
It's funny, he gets a toupee when he was, I think, wasn't he 17 or something when he got it? His dad made him get it? Yeah. You're losing your hair. You're getting a hair piece.
And Eric didn't even know. Fake!
Yeah, I know. That was ridiculous. And then,
what's the problem?
Oh, this is great.
I'm sorry, I killed my parents.
Pardon me?
So, for the scream in the background.
Who? Are they still there?
Yeah.
The people?
No.
Were they shot?
Yeah.
They were shot?
Yes.
What happened?
I have a hysterical person on.
What happened? Who is the person that was shot?
My mom and my dad.
Your mom and dad?
My mom and my dad.
Okay, hold on a second.
All right.
Okay, fake. We're on our way over there with an ambulance.
Oh my God, is that fake? That's so fake. I can't believe they didn't think they were. I can't believe they didn't think they did it right away.
Yeah.
They didn't search the car. They didn't do anything. They completely let him off the hook.
I can see you being the 911 operator, and as soon as you heard that background yell, your whole demeanor.
The background
the call
yell was pretty good. I mean, that was the best part
very
of the call.
Convincing.
I think it was Eric on the phone that was horrible. My mom and my dad.
I can see, but what would break you is the 911 operator to say, "All right, no, you're guilty."
Yeah.
Like you're with them to a point. You're like, you know.
I wonder if they can tell, you know, by the tone of people's voices. But they never introduce that into testimony.
You know what I think on 911 calls, when I know it's bullshit, is when they give too much information.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I just got home and it looks like my wife fell out of the bed and she was bleeding all over the place. And I waited about an hour and then I called you. I didn't know what to do. I just panicked. Or they give you this, you know, big song and dance about. Yeah, I got a flat tire, and my wife went into the car because she was just making sure that it was off the ground, and it fell on her and it broke her head, and she's dead.
She was in such pain, I just pulled out my gun and shot her and put her out of her misery. What?
People, when they're telling the truth, they just want an ambulance.
Yep.
Right.
They're just in a hurry for it. They don't tell a story. They don't tell if stuff happened. 2013, finally, the pictures of the Beatles' 65 Shea Stadium show taken by an amateur photog who bluffed his way backstage sold for $50,000. He had 61 pictures. And birthdays, Nick Lowe is 68, and Nina of the Luft Balloons.
Oh, still looks good.
She's 57.
Huh.
She did look good.
Mm-hmm. Well, the armpit area. That's cultural, Jay.
European.
Sean Retch coming up in a few minutes.
There were people that were upset. The new trailer came out for Wonder Woman, the movie.
Oh, and they're pissed because she doesn't have armpit hair?
Yeah, because a real...
What the fuck is that? Come on.
A real... what's the tribe that she's supposed to be from? The island? It might be from the island of Lesbos. Or no, she's an Amazon Lesbos. Woman. She's an Amazon woman. Yeah. So they said, of course she'd have hair.
Maybe not.
So what? We don't want to see hair on Wonder Woman. She's supposed to be hot.
No superhero has hair.
Yeah, she's a superhero.
They're all smooth.
Of course. Where they need to be.
How's she get that suit on unless you're smooth?
I was appalled. I mean, is that one of those where
Swain was smooth?
Where just a few idiots in social media?
Yes, of course. It is.
Yeah,
of course.
All right,
it is.
What else? What else is new?
Social media. Mayor Fouts put up a new one today.
Really?
Oh, did he?
It's
now what?
Super long, but I'll just read you the first two paragraphs because it gives us something to look forward to. My understanding is that a long-planned and political hatchet job, that's in quotes, or plotted hatchet job, will take place in a major Detroit newspaper on Friday or Saturday. The reporter has been openly bragging about his effort to destroy my reputation for some time. He's working with some political enemies, so there's no reason not to expect this to be the ultimate in rigged media. It's obviously time for the State of the City speech next week. The recall effort with five recall petitions against me by one individual is also apparently timed. This has been a relentless effort at political terrorism and character assassination since mid-December that you brought on yourself, idiot.
You said it, dickhead.
Yeah, and then he goes into all the great things he did, including that large margin of victory of 85%.
Nobody cares.
No, he does.
You know, blacks do look like chimpanzees. I was watching this black woman with her daughter, and they looked like two chimps. Their mouths were elongated, you know, a duckish look.
He goes on to write about, you know, that the GM investment, the new Kroger allegedly that's out there, the new library, everything he's doing that's
wonderful. Well, too bad you're showing what a racist and misogynist and a, let's see, special ed phobe. I don't even know what to call that.
He's a bigot.
A nut.
But he says, instead, they are obsessed with phony audio tapes.
Oh, you're so funny, Fouts.
Yeah. Does he maybe not remember doing those things?
He knows it's him. He knows his voice.
Okay.
He said he hasn't listened to them.
Here's his other go-to line. I haven't taken a vacation in 8.5 years.
There are pictures of you.
Yeah, but you still said all that stuff.
Well, none of
that stuff matters. You said some stuff that a person in your position cannot say.
Frankly, I think there's something wrong with you if you haven't taken a vacation in 8.5 years. Nobody told you not to. I worked through my lunch and returned phone calls from warned taxpayers in the evening and on weekends. But you won't address the media ever.
No, and he also hasn't apologized for saying some really racist and some really bullshit things about a lot of different groups of people, calling older women dried up cunts. Mm-hmm. That's not cool. That's over half your constituency, jackass. And it's you.
Also, I gave up my city car and cell phone. Basically, I'm available 24/7, like the August 11, 2014 Great Flood.
Yeah, that's why no one can get a hold of you. That's why no media can get an interview with you.
He says
You lied and left that ceremony yesterday, yep. Just bolted out the back and freaked everyone in the room out. Oh, my God, what happened?
In spite of this one-sided upcoming news article and the other negative media coverage of our city, I would continue to be your hands-on mayor. P.S. No Rizzo bribery scandal in Warren.
Oh. Wow, he's getting in a trash fight.
Get off, Fouts.
Yeah, that's so smart. Just go on the attack.
Ugh.
What a clown. How can this thing continue?
I don't know. I cannot wait to read this article, though.
Do you think Susie Quattro will be at their phone?
Hmm?
You want to try?
Oh, yeah.
Susie Quattro, do I think she'll be what?
Do you think she'll be by the phone?
Like if are we supposed to call her?
We're supposed to call her, yeah.
Oh, I thought she was calling us.
Oh, I had no idea.
She was going to call. Well, we couldn't quite coordinate it, but... Jay's got the phone number.
So did they text you?
They said she was going to be out for a meet and greet. Mm. between 6 and 6:30. But if she is. If not, then...
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Brian?
Yeah?
It's Trudy from the Drew and Mike podcast.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
I know we're early, so is there any chance?
Let me see. She just literally walked through the door.
Oh, okay.
So let me see if I can get her to do this. Call you back on this number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hello. Yeah, if it's 4:30, for sure.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Let me see if I can get her to do it right now.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Thank you.
Hang on. Stay on the phone.
Okay.
Oh.
Just stay on the phone.
Here's a fun fact. Did you know her niece is Sherilyn Fenn?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, she, she's, you know, here originally, of course, and then she's doing this memorial. It's the Dick Wagner Memorial Concerts, where she, Mark Farner, Kip Winger are all involved in this. And it's for, it helps buy music therapy for kids in hospitals.
Oh, cool.
So.
Is Kip Winger from here?
I don't think so. But I don't know. I mean, wouldn't we know if Kip Winger were from here?
So. I would think so,
Jay
yeah.
would know. Jay loves Winger.
Oh, no, yeah. He sounds like he's from L.A.
Oh, is Kip Winger alive?
Yeah, he is. He's here in town tonight.
Duh. I just got him confused with somebody who's... I was reading his ex-girlfriend's book, and I remember her describing him as being really, really in terrible condition. And I think
he
did die, but I can't remember who it was. Oh. It was one of those hairband guys. Is Kipwinger alive? Oh, my God.
He's alive forever. Duh. on the T-shirt of it would Beavis or Butthead. Which one?
No, he was on Stewart's shirt.
Oh, Stewart, right. Yeah. Sorry. Terrible.
Start.
Forgotten. Jay's gone into the green room.
They just bolted with a phone.
Jay disappeared into the green room, so I'm not... Sorry, I wasn't sure if it was going to be timing.
Well, come with 6:30 is mm-hmm.
White Boy Rick.
Yeah,
Sean Retch. She's supposed to get this meet and greet at 6:00. So if she just walked in the door, I'm surprised you didn't just say,
"Oh,
there she is!" Oh my God,
Marilyn Monroe.
Hey,
Susie,
how you doing?
How are you? It's Drew, Mark, and Trudy.
Pardon me.
Drew, Mark, and Trudy are here.
Hi,
nice to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. How you doing?
Great. So you're playing, you and Mark Farner and Kip Winger are all playing tomorrow night.
We are.
Do you play much these days?
Yeah, I play about 80 shows a year.
You do? Really?
Oh. I just got back from a sold-out Australian tour. It was 19 shows.
Wow.
So I like being the opera house, and it was my 32nd tour there. So, yeah, I work all the time.
Wow, aren't you glad you worked Australia early in your career so you could go to Australia every so often?
I've been there 32 times.
Wow.
That's every so often doesn't come into it. So I think it's my second home.
Huh. Wow. And how about Europe? How often are you playing all over Europe constantly?
All the time. And in October of this year, I'm headlining an arena tour in the UK. So that's exciting.
So are you more UK than US then, because you moved there sort of early in your career?
Yeah, it started off there. I have always worked here, but for a while I haven't been back. I've done the odd thing, like what I'm doing tomorrow. I did some shows in, or some songs in Austin when I got my award there. I did some songs here in Detroit when I got my award here. I would love to come back into America. It's just a matter of putting it together, because it's not worth it just to come back for one show. It has to be like a tour, you know, to make it viable.
Sure. And now this Dick Wagner thing. Had you played with Dick, or was he just somebody you came up with? Because I know you were obviously from here, and you the Pleasure Seekers. I read that you left home to be in this band when you were 14 years old. I didn't know if that was true or not, because it was online, but it sounded good.
Yeah, I left. We started the band when I was 14. And went straight on the road. I went professional right away. So I've actually been in the business 53 years now. That's absolutely true.
You're like the first chick rocker. I mean, a lot of women try to be the first chick rocker, but you're her. You are actually the first chick rocker, I would have to say.
Yeah, it kind of fell on me. I don't know why, but I don't know why it fell on me, but I have a feeling it's because I don't actually do gender.
Oh,
I
never was up there. I didn't consider myself a female bass player. I just consider myself
a bass player. Right.
And that's a different attitude.
Was there somebody you saw playing bass and you said, God, I've got to play bass?
No, it was a case of we were watching the Beatles on TV, and we all got together and started talking about how about forming an all-girl band. And everybody quickly chose an instrument, and I didn't speak up quick enough. And finally I said, hey, what about me? And my older sister, Patty, said, you're going to play the bass? And I said, okay. And luckily, because I already played piano and percussion, but luckily when I picked it up and put it on, it was an epiphany.
Yeah.
I had found my instrument.
Wow.
So how many people said, you can't have an all-girl band? That's never going to fly. You know, there's no girls in rock and roll.
Well, if they said that, I didn't even hear it because I had, like I said, a different attitude. I was just being who I am, and I think you get back what you give out, and I gave out that kind of like self-belief. So I just didn't hear it if they said it. You know, I didn't walk by. If they said it, I didn't pay attention. Let's put it that way.
And Happy Days had to be a big deal. I've got to believe tons of people must know you from Happy Days. That show was so big, and it still plays all over the place.
Yeah, it was one of the best shows ever, and I was pleased that it was my first ever acting job. I'm still in touch with everybody. I'm honored to have been on that show. It was a good one.
Yeah.
Wait, are you still in touch with Ron Howard?
Yeah, I'm in constant email contact with him and Henry. In fact, Ron gave me a beautiful quote from my autobiography, and so did Henry. And I have a poetry book out that Henry quoted me on. And, we do keep in touch.
We do talk to Henry every once in a while. He is the nicest guy. He's got to be the nicest person in all of the entertainment world. I can't think of anyone who's been so nice. I mean, it's almost like, how can he?
No, he's a lovely man.
Yeah. No, he's great. So now, tomorrow night, will you be playing... How far back do you go with your repertoire? I mean, do you play everything, or are you focusing on new material? Or what are you doing when you play live in a place like
No,
Detroit
there's tomorrow? There's a lot of people playing on the show, and we're all doing three songs. So I'm doing three songs. I'm doing one that I wrote with Dick Wagner called If Only. So that's important. And I'm doing one that he wrote with Alice, which Alice insisted that I do, which is called I Never Cry. And I'm doing a Chuck Berry because I have ended with Chuck Berry for the past 35 years. So we're going to honor him.
Wow.
That's cool.
And how good a guitarist was Dick Wagner? I mean, I know he played with Alice and he played the band Frost. I heard a lot about them. I mean, he must have been great to play with Alice all that time.
He was, and I don't say it lightly, he was one of the good ones.
Yeah, I heard somewhere where he taught Joe Perry how to play some Aerosmith songs. Is that right?
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if that's true or not, but he is, you know, you have a handful of people, and Dick was a good one. He's a very good writer. He had his own style of playing, and a nice man, you know, a lovely guy.
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow night, the Motor City Soundboard, great event for Dick Wagner. And Susie, I know you just walked in there, so we appreciate you grabbing the phone and giving us a few minutes of your time. Have a ball tomorrow night, and thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Bye, Susie.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Susie Quattro, stumbling into the podcast.
I had no idea that that is a cool look, that leather leotard thing she's wearing.
What Jay had on there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. When is that from, Jay?
And giant platform shoes.
Did it say what year it is? She was really cute.
Yeah.
Tiny.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's funny. I looked up Stumbling In because I just remembered. I know that was a big hit. I didn't realize it was that big a hit. It was a top five hit.
Right.
1978.
She plays the hell out of that bass, too.
It's really funny to think of somebody like, I mean, Susie, I would assume she could play Oldie Circuit around here.
Yeah.
But it's just weird to think of her playing Australia 32 times. I mean, yeah. Really?
And all over Europe. And well, she lives there, so.
Yeah. Sometimes, I'm looking old people up. Not old people, but just older artists up all the time just to see what they're doing. And I'm amazed at the tour circuits they're on and that there's still, 10,000 people that want to see him in all these places. So, good for her. Right. And people just don't want to stop performing either.
I don't know. I mean, I think she sounds like she's pretty active. Like, she should keep performing.
80 shows.
Rock.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Who was I looking up? New toy. One of the female sort of new wavers. Do you remember the song New Toy? Thomas Dolby wrote it, and... Oh, God, what was the chick that did that song?
It's not the chick from Berlin, is it?
No.
Remember that stupid...
If you look up, if you search on New Toy, I was just reading about her in Q Magazine, and I was stunned. There was all this information on her touring all over Europe, and they were showing the crowds, and Lena Lovitch. Lena Lovitch, absolutely. She is, I think, in her late 60s. Or maybe not quite that old. Anyway, she's playing all over Europe, and she's got, it's looked like big crowds. And some of them were sold out, some were at these giant festivals. And I thought, God, how can you, I just consider her as having one song. I mean, that's all I knew of her. I didn't think it was that big a hit. But for some reason, I guess she had bigger status in Europe.
Wow.
And I was just amazed. Q Magazine, it might have been Mojo. They're a British magazine, so you get sort of a different set of artists sometimes. You're like, why do they write so much about this guy? And you find out that they've got these giant followings, and they're just going around doing it over and over and over. And she was like Susie saying, I'd love to play the States because all these U.S. fans are writing in, and they're going, when are you going to tour the States? What's going on? She's like, well, I can't seem to find a good tour. I can't seem to make it work financially. We have production costs, and so... It's like, even though her career started here, for whatever reason, I don't know if the songs just went over bigger in Europe or what, but, she's basically lives there and is, her career cannot be moved away from there.
Right, yeah. Whew. Dig that leather thing.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, that was really cool. There was a big story today about the malls, because Sears, it looks like Sears is just going to completely shut down. JCPenney, maybe not far behind. Mm-hmm. And so they're talking about like Northland, Eastland, all these different places. Are you calling Sean?
Yeah.
Okay. That they're either going to shut down or they're going to be repurposed.
Yeah.
Like Ford took over a mall, a big part of a mall.
Oh, yeah. Fairlane in Dearborn. They took over the Lord and Taylor's.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah. I mean, look how many people shop on the internet now.
That's no, I know. It's just, how many jobs is this wiping out? How are people...
Out of retail.
I know.
But then again, you go to Great Lakes Crossing, and that place is just jammed.
Well, Great Lakes Crossing is one of the few that's still doing well.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them that are jammed.
12 Oaks is usually jammed.
Yeah, 12 Oaks is always jammed.
It's like people on a nice day are at 12 Oaks Mall. It's so bizarre to me, because I'm like, why aren't you outside?
But the list of ones that are just over was amazing. Is Sean there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Rick. Yeah. I bet Sean's using this for the soundtrack. Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Okay. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Are you using Play That Funky Music White Boy for your soundtrack for White Boy Rick or for White Boy?
Let me tell you something. The budget for the movie was about $35 million. And to use a popular song is about $200,000.
Oh my God! So really?
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. I couldn't use any popular music. We wanted to. We had a bunch of. There's some really cool '80s rap songs that would have hip hop that would have worked so well with this film, and we tried like crazy.
Well, what
to call in favors?
One of those was Kid Rock shouted him out in an early rap song.
Yeah, we're allowed to use that because it's part of the story. So we used like 3 seconds of it. And that's in the movie.
Okay. Oh, really?
But,
3 seconds? Is that all you can use?
Is 3 seconds? I think the magic number. I think the magic number is 7, but we never like to push it. Yeah, fair use.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's crazy. Well, I'm fascinated with documentaries because I love watching them. And then, I don't know, I just have kind of an interest in how they're made. And we've interviewed a lot of people who've done documentaries because I do like them. And it's fun to find out about them and maybe help them along, too. And a lot of people are into documentaries. But you said $250,000. That sounds like a fairly big budget for a documentary, honestly, from the guys we talked to. Like the guy did the Grandy Ballroom thing. He did that on, like, what was it, $50,000?
Yeah, very cheap.
Yeah, and it was a pretty good documentary. And he was fighting to get sounds and songs on there, too. But, I mean, did you feel like that was a fairly decent budget to put this thing together?
Yeah, I mean, it was just that we had a few partners, and I self-paid part of it. But, it you know, when you get a real deal, which we were fortunate that we always get it on TV, you know, the delivery costs alone of getting a fair use opinion from lawyers and insuring it and just the print itself, that stuff alone almost hits the budget you mentioned from that other film. So when you with eyeballs comes a lot more cost. But yeah, that's a decent budget to make a doc. But we do an awful lot of traveling, we do an awful lot of research, so you've got to have the funding there, and thankfully we had some supporters who helped us out. A big one was actually a Chevy dealer.
Huh. Oh, really?
A GM dealer in Cleveland, yeah. A guy named Mike Lally and Kim Lally.
Now, do you have a personal interest in the story, or is he just somebody you've worked with before?
You know, he has a personal interest in Detroit, you know, being a GM guy. And we do their commercials, and he loved my first film. I said, hey, man, if you're ever doing anything else like that again, just let me know. And sure enough, it's kind of what we do now, this over-sentencing and wrongful conviction. So I told him about this case, and he loved it, so he got involved.
And one of the other guys involved, I guess he's a co-producer now, is Rick Spire, for a guy we know, Scott Bernstein. How did you come across with Scott? How did you guys meet up?
Well, I originally heard about this case when I was doing press for A Murder in the Park, my first movie. Mm-hmm. One of the reporters, he's with Vice and a bunch of other organizations, a guy named Seth Ferranti. And Seth knows Rick. He did 21 years for a nonviolent drug offense himself.
Jeez. Oh my God.
Wrote from the inside and got out and became a professional journalist. And he said, he told me about the case and we decided to do it. And he said, the subject matter expert, the guy, is Scott Bernstein. And mm-hmm. turns out, you know, Scott Bernstein's the guy who's writing Rick's book with Rick, his autobiography. So Scott has, you know, spoken to Rick for hundreds of hours about every detail of this story. So, yeah, he was a great guy to have involved.
Well, Christopher, since you're kind of, maybe the expert on over-sentencing for these kind of nonviolent crimes, is this the worst case of over-sentencing you've ever seen?
It's the worst case I've ever seen, and it's the most obvious case of political payback I've ever seen, too. It's a bad one.
Sean, I don't get it because, you know, he was told that they wanted help to put some of these other people away. He gave them everything they wanted, and yet it seems in the end that got him punished. And even now, after all this time, Kim Worthy shut him down when the judge was going to basically end his sentence. What was that, 6 months ago or 8 months ago? And here comes Kim Worthy say, nope, I will not allow that to happen. I'm dying to know. I want to know who's – I mean, it's one thing to get him out. It's another thing. I want to know who kept him in there. What do you think? Do you have a thought on that?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is the one you mentioned, Kim Worthy, since she took the lead – and said she's not going to let him out, but she also, recently changed her mind. So hopefully that opens the door for him to get out.
But she wasn't even there at the beginning. When this happened, she wasn't in that position. I mean, she's got to be doing somebody's bidding, right?
I don't know. I have to take her at her word that she changed her mind because she's been working with a lot of other youths convicted and sentenced to life. But here's the thing. Here's the crazy part. You said, hey, he did everything they asked, and they still threw him away. He did everything the feds asked, okay? And what the feds were trying to do was take down Coleman Young and Gil Hill. So the city, Wayne County, got to Rick and arrested him before the feds could protect him. And then when they stepped in and tried to help him, they couldn't help him. And I think it's a big case of payback of, oh, you're going to take us out? Well, guess what? We're going to take you out. And the only way the feds could really help him was to get him into protective custody, you know, for helping, you know, with another case. But we're dealing with multiple entities here, and the Detroit Police Department arrested him, you know, not the FBI. And the FBI, and the other part of this is the FBI used him illegally, so they weren't going to step in and say, at the time, they weren't going to step in and say, look, guys, you know, we've been using him, and we think you've been using him, too, and, you know, we've got to take care of this. We you know, if you think about it, it's insane. They asked him to learn the drug business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they asked him to get them information.
As a 15-year-old kid.
Yeah, 15-year-old kid, and they took him out of school and kept him out late on school nights going out and doing their work for him. And, you know, to their credit, a couple of these FBI agents, you know, were really helpful, and they spoke up, and they admitted a lot of stuff they did wrong, and flew in to do interviews for us and admitted to a lot of crazy stuff because they feel terrible that here they are, and they got what they wanted out of him, and they couldn't help him, and he's still locked up, and they feel terrible about it. And, you know, there's one in particular who was a higher up in the FBI named Greg Schwartz. You know, he's done everything we've asked to try and help get Rick out.
Now, you have, in the documentary, speaking of the FBI, you have new undercover footage in this film, correct?
Yeah, we were able to. A lot of these guys, I found out these agents take a lot of stuff home with them when they retire because they can get pulled into a case.
Really?
And they don't necessarily trust the Bureau to keep the records for them. You know, I can attest, I mean, when we do FOIA requests, sometimes we do Freedom of Information Act requests. Sometimes we'll get a letter saying, we expect to have what you need, you know, in 22 months. You know, so they're just really not responsive, and it's not an easy thing to do. So these guys make copies of their files and throw them in the garage, a lot of these guys. So somebody had copies of all this surveillance tape of Operation Backbone. So we're going to show it, I believe, for the first time.
Wow.
In the film.
Was there any aspect of it that was particularly fascinating? Obviously, it was interesting enough to put it in the movie, but anything you can tell us about?
As far as the undercover footage and that whole thing, I mean, there's some that we didn't even put in the movie, some of the stuff that we learned. But one thing that's funny is when they took them down to Miami and acted like they were dope dealers, they used the same boat, the yacht, that they just had equipped to do the ab scam investigation.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a famous yacht from another trial and investigation that they used to act like it was the dope lord's yacht. So that was pretty interesting.
Damn.
Another interesting story that we didn't put in the movie is that when these guys were establishing ground in the beginning with some of the bad guys, there was actually one of the federal agents was kidnapped. He had a suitcase with $1 million in it, and he was kidnapped, and the feds were following him, and they did a car switch, and the feds were following the wrong car. This guy had to save his own life by jumping out of a car.
Oh, my God.
They were going to kill him.
So
this is the mayor's brother-in-law who's going to kill him.
Wow.
So, but I didn't. It ended up not working in the movie. But, yeah, I learned a lot of crazy stuff about Detroit and about who was running Detroit at the time.
So if the mayor, if there was a vendetta by the Coleman Young administration against White Boy Rick, who continued it way after the fact? Like once
Coleman Young and Coleman Young and Gil Hill were the rabbis to a lot of young up and comers back then, and a lot of them are still in power, and they feel a loyalty and allegiance, and I think that it might be telling that, you know, while we were making this movie, and when Ms. Worthy changed her mind, it wasn't long after Gil Hill died. So maybe,
it's interesting.
Maybe
I actually wondered about that because Rick said some things about Gil Hill that were pretty mind blowing, and I always wondered. I don't know. I just didn't think Rick had a reason to lie about that stuff. And the thing about this that's so mind boggling though is, I mean, I understand. Okay, some people might have thought they have to sort of keep the whatever this vendetta is, they have to keep it alive. And at a certain point, though, it just becomes ridiculous. It's so obvious the system is tilted against him. He hasn't had a parole hearing since 2003. It's 29 years. Everyone, I mean, we just read about a guy who murdered in cold blood his wife. He went in 92. He was out in 2006, I think it was. He murdered his four kids now just about 3 months ago. You know, there's so many people who've gone in after him for violent crimes and gotten out before while he's still sitting in there. It's 29 years now. This vendetta against somebody who was 16, 17 years old when he did this stuff, it's so absolutely imbalanced and it's so obvious, too. I mean, to anyone who looks at this, you have to say, mm-hmm. This is mind-boggling. Tim Allen did the same thing and served 3 years. Virtually everyone.
Tim Allen made the judge laugh. He made the judge laugh. And he said, you might have a career in comedy, buddy. Well, here's something very telling. You know, when Rick probably, and he takes responsibility for the case, okay? Mm-hmm. He admits now that those were his drugs, but he probably could have beaten the case. But in midstream, he switched lawyers. Kathy Volson, his girlfriend, and Johnny Curry's wife. Kathy Bolson Curry, she said, look, I talked to some people, and they said you need to get these new attorneys, Gardner and Bell. Well, Gardner and Bell were Coleman Young's attorneys, and they pretty much didn't do a thing to help Rick. They dropped the whole strategy that would have gotten them out. And then when Rick was in that parole hearing, Gardner wrote a letter, which was signed by Mayor Duggan, that said, don't let him out. So his own attorney wrote a letter from the prosecutor's office not letting him out. So,
but
yeah.
That's got to be malpractice, Sean.
It's an incredible conflict of interest. That's the kind of thing that went on in Detroit. We found that it went on in Chicago, too, in one of our other cases. You know, it was just crazy back then.
I think I was just going to say, I get the system being tilted against somebody, but this is ridiculous. I mean, people are so aware of it. It's so obvious. I'm beginning to feel like somebody needs to be called somebody needs to be punished for what's happened to this guy. This is way, way out of proportion. It's not just somebody getting punished a little bit extra. It just seems like, to me, I'm really interested in the documentary. I really want to see it because I've had a real interest in this. We interviewed White Boy Rick twice at our last radio station. So we've had an extreme interest in this. But I really feel like there's another angle to this, and that's who needs to be held responsible for what's been done to this guy?
They're all dead. They're all dead.
Well, who's carrying it forward? Somebody's carrying it forward. I mean, it still lives.
The loyalty lived until recently.
Except
the loyalty to these guys, but the guys who committed the sins are dead. And it's funny, when I told Rick at the beginning, he's like, man, I don't want to, if we do this movie, because I did this with his cooperation. And he said, boy, you know, you're going to have to convince people. I said, you know what, Rick, this is the easiest case ever. I said, all we have to do, and it's an old metaphor, but all we have to do is shine a light on this. Mm-hmm. Once we tell the whole story, the people outside of Detroit, because everybody in Detroit's, they think they know it and they've heard it. But I think they're going to learn some new things. But once I said, all we have to do is shine a light on this, and we don't even have to explain anything. Everyone's going to see how egregious this is. And yeah, I hope it leads to him getting out. It would be horrible. I don't know how he can't get out after this whole story gets out.
Well, isn't there one?
There are people. Go ahead.
I was going to say, isn't there one guy who could get him out, and that's Governor Snyder? Which I wouldn't think he'd have any ties to any of these people.
Yeah, he could, but he's also been branded. You know, he took the blame for
Flint.
I'm not going to say whether he's a good guy, bad guy, good governor, bad governor. But I mean, he's been pinned with the blame for failing 100-year-old infrastructure, and it's been called racial. And it probably, you know, I could understand if he's sensitive about letting out a white drug dealer, you know, and springing him from prison. It probably isn't a great look. But I mean, I think that after anybody 29 years this movie
politics.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm with you.
You know, maybe he's worried about the optics, as they say. I don't know. He defers to the parole board.
Yeah.
The governor defers to the parole board, but he appointed the parole board, so it's a little bit of a cop out.
I don't understand. You know, maybe you can explain this. I feel like I'm just beating a dead horse here. Is there anything anyone could have done to get him a parole hearing sooner? I don't understand how he can go this long without a parole hearing.
He, you know, well, they a public hearing. He only had one public hearing. They will meet with him privately every few years, and then they decide not to give him a public hearing. And they, you know, they refer back to these letters. You know, the 2003 parole hearing, big one. There were police officers called to testify against Rick. I've got one of them in the movie admitting that he didn't even know Rick and that the whole thing was BS. And they were told by a deputy commissioner before the hearing, don't let him out. Say what you got to say. Read the paper. They went and got a bunch of old newspapers, read about him. This is the testimony against him at the hearing. Three cops who didn't even know him. Jeez. And one of them, you know, one of them told us the truth. He said it was a sham.
Who was the deputy commissioner at the time?
Deputy Chief Richardson, he said, told him to go in there and make sure this kid doesn't get out.
Wow.
Well, you know, that's where I just want somebody to pay for this. Or I want somebody to be called on the carpet for it. You know, I'm sure I'm just being...
I think Rick just wants out.
Pollyanna here. But, yeah, no, Rick just wants out. And you know what? If you can't do it, maybe Matthew McConaughey can do it, for Christ's sake. I mean, we got him coming up on your heels, so he's got a lot of firepower coming, Sean. If this doesn't do it, he ain't ever getting out.
I hope that he's out before the script is. The script of film isn't due out until the end of January next year, you know, because they have a lot of work to do. They just started filming. And, you know, I know those guys, and they've helped us, actually, which
cool.
is extraordinary. They've really, really been good to us and helped us. And, you know, our story has been greatly shaped by Scott Silver, the guy who wrote 8 Mile, who wrote one of the versions of the White Boy Rick scripted film. And he's given us notes for months, helping us straighten the story out. So, and, you know, tell the story the right way and in an entertaining way for the audience. So, but I hope that, I mean, if he's still locked up in Michigan, January 28th, 2018, something is even more wrong than I thought.
Well, looking forward to White Boy Rick, or White Boy, rather, is the name of the documentary.
Correct, White Boy.
Friday, March 31st, the Triumph Film Theater, Detroit Institute of Arts, and then Saturday, April 1st at Imagine Royal Oak, and then 3 p.m. on Sunday, April the 2nd at Imagine in Novi. Did I say 8:30 Saturday, April 1?
Yes,
yeah, Imagine Royal Oak. 3 p.m. Sunday, yep. April the 2nd, Imagine Novi. Has this played in other cities yet?
Oh, no, this is the world premiere, and this is the only festival we're going to do. Really? After that, we're just going to sell it, get a distribution deal, get it back in theaters or on a streaming service. Eyeballs matter now.
Yeah.
We want millions and millions of people to see this.
Well, it seems perfect for HBO. I mean, yeah. Right up their alley.
Sure.
Yeah, our first movie was on Showtime still, and it goes to Netflix next month. But it was on Showtime, then the movie channel for 18 months, so... I think it can land on a Showtime or HBO, but yeah. we're just making it available for those guys to see next week. So hopefully it ends up on one of those platforms and back in theaters, too.
Wow, fantastic. Well, Sean, thanks so much for the time, and we're looking forward to seeing this and hearing more about it and hopefully seeing it on demand eventually, too.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me on. I hope everybody can come check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope it all has the ultimate success, and Rick gets out. I know you gave it your best shot.
Yep.
Thanks
Thank you
again.
Very much.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. Good deal.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Can't believe $200,000 for this song or for a song like this?
Well, remember the guy from Sly and the Family Stone documentary? Like what he said, that'd be more than his whole budget.
Yeah, I know. Well, I remember the Grandy Ballroom, though. I thought he was talking about smaller numbers because he wanted, you know, he would loved to have had a little bit of Cream music or... a Led Zeppelin song or, you know, any of those great bands that played there, but he absolutely couldn't do it. It was just not even... But I thought when he said $250,000, I thought maybe he'd get something, but wow.
Serious Issue Shell thought as it was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You called him Sean and I called him Christopher. I'm like, oh my gosh, which name is it? His name is Christopher Sean Reck, and I've seen it in print both ways. So I was really
kind of... Oh, I've only seen Sean.
On the Free Press Film Festival, it has it as Christopher Esrek. I've seen it as C.S. Rec. I've seen it as Sean.
I'm trying to think what...
does it matter?
Mazzaway sent me.
Well, I just went with Sean.
Yeah, that's funny. That. I heard you say Christopher, and I wasn't sure. I thought, wait, he has three names,
yes,
doesn't he?
Yes.
And okay, I think Maz sent me Sean. Sean, S-H-A-W-N, Wretch.
I've seen it in both places, both ways. I don't. He obviously didn't care. He responded.
No, he did respond. And when he responded, I thought that must be the third name. Because he responded, I thought we're okay. Either that, or he's going to let it go. But anyway, I don't. This thing is so. I mean. This sounds like a really disturbing thing to see, that somebody would say, don't let him out.
Yeah.
And would have three guys go in there and know nothing about the case and fucking lie.
Well, also in this film, this is because I know Dietz had the story a while ago, and it must be because Christopher / Sean talked to him, but a hitman was allegedly paid to kill Rick.
Really? Uh-huh.
Remember that story that Dietz had? So I think that full interview's in this doc from what I read.
Yeah, go cool. Dietz.
Yeah,
nice. Is Dietz in the documentary?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see his name. Bernstein is.
Oh, yeah.
Bernstein Advantage.
He had to be in there.
Yep.
He should be in there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's working on the movie at all.
He's
like be an advisor.
Co-producer.
Scott Bernstein. He's co-producer.
Yeah, that's
cool.
That's what he's telling us. Yep.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I just cannot believe that you can just tilt the system against somebody, and even though everyone knows it now, it just seems like somebody. He says everyone's dead, but no, he said there's people alive who kept the thing going, so why can't one of those people be taken to task for this?
You hit the nail on the head. Skill Hill.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, he had a lot. White Boy Rick had a lot to say about Gil Hill.
Yeah.
Gil Hill was involved in some nasty shit.
Yeah, great actor.
Wasn't he in Beverly? Yeah.
Beverly
Hills Cop?
Yeah, he sure was.
We didn't know.
But he was, if I remember correctly, I think Rick was saying that Gil Hill was tipping people off about raids.
Really?
Yeah, I believe that's what the claim was.
Ugh.
And Gil Hill denied everything, of course. I mean, what was he going to do? But just interesting that, you know, Coleman Young, for a lot of things about Coleman Young, and people for many years have said about this that, Coleman Young's making this happen. And I always said, well, he's been gone forever. How could he? And, oh, no, trust me, he's still his the ghost of Coleman Young, whatever, however you want to say it.
Who are these people who carry out his will then, all these years later?
That's what I don't get. I mean, why would they even fucking care if he's dead?
Coleman Young Jr.? Or the second? What is he going by?
Coleman, yeah. I don't think so. Joel Loving?
Joel Loving.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean.
All right, there's kind of showtime, okay?
There he is.
Hey, boss, I know what you're going to say, but
you mind telling me where the fuck you come off going undercover without authorization from me? What the fuck is this all about? You want to play some fucking bullshit cowboy cop? Go do it in somebody else's precinct.
Don't you want to hear my side of the story?
What's your fucking side of the story?
Let's hear your side of the story.
Hey, I'm not taking any more of this shit. You know how much this little stunt of yours is going to cost this city?
I don't think cost is the issue here, sir. I think the issue should be my blatant disregard for proper procedure.
You damn right, wise ass. The mayor called the chief called the deputy chief just chewed my ass out. You see, I don't have any bit of it left, don't you? Where in the fuck did you get a truckload of cigarettes from anyway?
From the Dearborn hijack.
From the Dearborn hijack? That fucking bus went down last week. That truck is supposed to be in the damn pound.
I'm trying to tell you.
Jeffrey, this is none of your fucking business.
This is not my locker.
No more of these setups, you understand? You're a good cop. And you got great potential, but you don't know every fucking thing. And I'm tired of taking the heat for your ass. One more time, you're out on the street. Do you understand me?
Boss, let me tell you.
Do you understand me?
Yeah, I understand.
Well, boss.
Wow.
The chief ain't chew it all out. You still got a little ass there.
Don't fuck with me, Axel. Not now. Go on. Go home.
Best supporting actor.
Ah.
Gil Hill.
That's all you heard about Gil Hill when I got here in 91. Oh, Gil Hill from Beverly Hills. Whatever. I don't know. I just read what I read. I don't know what white boy Rick. I don't know what he's saying is true. He just alleged some interesting things about Gil Hill. And I don't know why he would make it up, but maybe he did. It sure seems like he upset a whole lot of people. But it'll be interesting to see it explained in some, because none of it makes sense to me. It just seems like it's 29 years. Coleman Young died. What year did he die? We say 97?
Yeah, I think even before that. I don't know. Yeah, around then.
It was, yeah, I think it was around 97, because Coleman Young II or Joel Loving.
97, November
97. 6 or 7 years old. I just don't get how something like that goes on. But hey, it did. It's still going on. I could not. I'd love to know why. I know we'll never know, but I just want to know why Kim Worthy could not let that judge resentence him to time served.
Nobody understands it.
I mean, after 28 and a half years, that wasn't enough. And I thought it raised suspicion. I really did. I felt like, wow, so she's part of this thing. Because for all the BS about this drug dealer and this is not a small crime, it's like, no, everybody that did what he did is out. He's the last one in there.
And maybe it's obvious, but what connection did she have with Gil Hill? And any of those people?
Who knows? I'm not sure what her connection would be to Gil Hill.
His secret daughter.
Who knows?
She helps him immigrate.
You know, one thing about Rick, he mentioned Johnny Curry and his girlfriend, who became White Boy Rick's girlfriend. That was Coleman Young's niece.
Yeah.
So, you know, Coleman Young wasn't too crazy about this guy hanging out with his niece or banging his niece or whatever. But Johnny Curry was no better. Johnny Curry served 9 years, and he said he was 10 times the dealer White Boy Rick ever was. So even he couldn't understand it. And he was a bad dude. I don't know what he's doing now. I should look up Johnny Curry. He's alive. But anyway, we'll wrap it up because Michigan basketball is starting. It's Thursday evening, and it's time for March Madness to take place, which means we got to get the hell out of here.
Do it.
So we'll see you Sunday night after basketball, I guess. Yeah, basketball will be over by
Sunday, late
evening.
Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, late Sunday. Okay.
No. You know what? Actually, I think they're during the day.
I think it's over like 6 o'clock or so.
Yeah.
I think. Or maybe 7. Anyway, we'll see you Sunday or Monday for you. So have a good one, everybody. See ya!